your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
That was terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's... What is... Oh, I see what Ryan Schlong is doing.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's Cowboy Shit Day! Yeah!
Happy National Cowboy Shit Day to those who observe. Pew, 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 obviously. Ryan was... I would get my cowboy hat out of the closet, but I returned it to Party City after I wore mine last time.
Ew, who does that?
I did. It was $20 party hat.
And you wore it during, was it during COVID?
I don't remember. I wore it for the show, so probably.
You returned it? That's gross.
I did. I don't normally do shit like that, but I was real mad it was $20 for a felt hat. So I cleaned it. I made sure. I'm a hygienic person, but I was give me my money back.
$20 for a felt cowboy hat.
That's all it was. Remember? I wore it on the show. And it was
I do remember the ones
that they had. They were those.
Yeah. Must be why they were $20.
They were terrible.
Oh, well, it is Wednesday night, and you do know what that means. It's the Mark Order Podcast, episode 34. Wow, we are moving along.
Moving right along. What's Ryan up, gentlemen? Ryan is half asleep.
Ryan's going to rob a train.
He's going to rob
Ryan Schlong, Rough Rider. No, you don't want nada. None of this. Six gunniness from the runniness. Buffalo soldier. Look, it's like I told you. And any damsel that be in distress, she be out of that dress when she meets Ryan Schlong.
I think you got to do the rankings rap. That's it. Oh, no. Where did Matt go?
I chased Matt away.
You did. He quit the show. That's all right. Ant's half asleep. Matt didn't really see anything.
Wait, I turned my camera off and you said, hey, quit the show. And then you said, that's all right. How rude.
I knew you'd be back. They always How rude. Back.
I'm well awake now. I am just disgusted at the Wild Wild West rap.
I'm so happy I'm not the only one that dresses up for shows anymore. He sings. He does puns. And he dresses up. I've created a monster, I tell you. A monster.
Joe Evans wants to know, where's Ryan's Pepe?
Ooh. It's a good question.
Pepe Silver?
Fair question. If you're going to wear a cowboy hat, don't ask that your horse.
He broke a leg. I made glue out of him.
Oh, no. Poor Pepe.
My goodness.
Sad.
What a savage.
Look at Jay Shell in the chat being like and subscribe, guys. He's out here promoting our shit better than us. Thanks, Jay Shell.
It just brings a blessing to this warm cowboy's heart.
Bro, put a hat back on, please. Jesus Christ. Ugh, I've never seen you without a hat on.
It's not great.
Matholomew, how dare you?
How dare you? Wow. So very how is everybody normal. Doing?
So good.
So good.
So good.
Wow.
It was a great episode of Dynamite.
Right.
I'm just having a good week. It's gorgeous out. Fall is beautiful. I'm a white girl. I love foliage. It's been good. Things have been great.
It's pronounced foliage. I've said it all my life. I think I know how to say foliage, Lisa.
Is that Simpsons?
No one's a Simpsons fan?
Everybody else is a Simpsons fan but me.
I have. Well, the Lisa gave it away.
It's been a very
That's
busy...
why I said it.
busy week in the world of the AEW, and there's a shitload of stuff cover. Wait.
How's everybody else doing? Cowboy aside, Matt, how are you? You're back on the yoga. Let's take a minute.
Holy shit, he's actually trying to move us along, and Kate stops it.
Well, I was the only one that answered the question, and I feel like other people should tell us how they're doing.
Wait a minute, cowboy aside?
If I could be honest, I don't care how Anthony is doing. He's been very rude to me since Sunday night.
That is true.
He's been a meanie. He went from calling me boss, showing me many levels of respect, to now telling me don't reach out to your friends, don't vent. I hope you quit your job. Okay. You should have been home to watch the pay-per-view live instead of watching it later. He's very mean-spirited.
I know why.
Why?
It's because he's Ant Money, and he was like, money is like my thing. And then you swept in as a millionaire, and now his feelings are hurt because not only do you also have money, you're like, you're a millionaire about it.
Is it like a Ghostbusters thing? Like you don't have like tickets to see the new film? Are you upset about that? What's going on over there, buddy? Talk to us.
I've got my tickets.
Okay.
Listen, me and Rob Humphrey, we have our tickets to see it tomorrow.
Are you going? Together?
We're not going together, but I do have my tickets. It's not an IMAX like Rob Humphrey, but that's because the theater by me is not an IMAX. So I'm excited. It'll be good. Looking forward to it.
Good. I hope it sucks.
Also, Jay Shell, you asked if it's DDP yoga. Yes, it is.
Bang! Dissension in the Mark Order can only be rivaled by Dissension in the Super Elite. It's true. Maybe that's what'll happen at the Shining Wizards 10-year anniversary show. Maybe there'll be Dissension there.
Why would there be Dissension there?
I don't know. Long-term storytelling.
We already cut the cancer out of the Shining Wizards wrestling.
Oh my gosh. Berg is in the chat. It's been so long. Hi, Berg. The OG. That makes me happy.
Okay, so I'm doing okay.
Good. Despite the lack of ant support.
Yeah, you know, it's a little disappointing. I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
I thought we were like hermanos, but
we are. You don't need my support. You got it.
I do need your support. You're my rock.
You've got
You're my rock, brother.
Oh, man.
I mean, look, I'm going to get, if Mrs. Money ever hears this, I will get heat, though, because I'm the one who keeps sending Anthony the links for the Amazon exclusive AEW.
She knows. I already told her.
Okay,
because she saw the box.
Who needs a Jericho figure when you could have
Cruise Director Mike
Jericho.
Yay. I've had a very busy week in the Bowman household. There's a box of New Japan Series 2 figures that I haven't opened that I just brought in today. I got my Jay White figures. I got my Bret Hart poster.
Jay White looks
good, by the way.
Hold on. Everyone stop. Did anyone else catch Matt looking over his shoulder there to make sure that Ree wasn't standing behind him with like a knife or a gun or some other physical force?
It would definitely be a gun.
Did I tell you that she won like a thing and she's going duck hunting the first weekend in December?
Yes.
You did. That's awesome.
She'll be down in your neck of the woods, Schlong.
Where's she going again?
Oh, God. Island State Park, something like that, maybe.
Sounds right. I don't
know. What do you got there? Look at that.
Let's compare. Almost identical, to be honest. Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Jericho.
Looks pretty good. He's got a couple jackets here, a pink and a white.
Yeah, dress up your guys. But, you gotta dress up with my guys.
No, then he's never this. Gonna see. He's never gonna feel what air feels like.
Oh yeah, Fozzie.
It's the voice that gets me.
Just got your voice back from last week.
No. Let her keep going,
guys. Normally, I don't do a podcast on Thursdays, and I was like, I'll be fine. But I had a prediction show, and it hurt to talk. Whole new respect for people who metal scream for a living. Yikes.
All right. Who, who hasn't told us how their week was? Anthony, you're doing good?
Yeah, doing fine. Another busy week.
All right. Cowboy?
How's the Bible?
Well, this old cowpoke is having quite a good week there, partner.
Oh, is this going to be like a thing?
Your southern accent is as bad as your shoot Philly accent.
I don't do accents well, but I wanted to at least start the show as my cowboy persona.
I do appreciate that there's
what is that voice?
Goodbye, no.
Why are you in a town where there's no other people?
Because I went pew, 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 and they all ran.
You killed everyone? You and Arn Anderson both, pal.
Pew, pew, pew.
What do you go to Wild West City?
City that's running wild.
So bad.
It's fucking awful.
Is it really?
I went when I was like, my parents took me there when I was like 12 and I was the oldest kid there. And I was like, this is stupid. And
you
then
12 and like this, I'm too old for this at 12.
And then I thought the donkey was taking a dump. And my mother pointed out that that was the donkey's dick. And well,
put you to shame.
I've been scarred ever since. What does my mom know what a donkey's dick looks like?
Let's take a moment of silence for Matthew's childhood.
Are you a Southern Belle? What are you doing?
I don't know what this
you
is.
You just said Fairy Gone with the Wind.
Don't do accents, guys.
Can you do the Swedish Chef?
Bork, 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 bork.
No, that was an Office reference. He's from Sesame Street, dumbass.
Swedish Chef?
Oh, my God.
I don't. That's such an obscure Office reference.
It's not.
I do declare.
There you go. Thanks, Matt. Somebody knows what's going on. That's why we're Hermanos.
I'm not going down for this.
That's right. Kate's got it too. Well, guys, Matt said it. There's a lot going on in the world of AEW this past week. Why don't we start talking about some AEW stuff?
Let's do it.
Agent Joe wants to know. Who had donkey dick on their Mark Order podcast bingo card?
That should have been on it. That's not like that far of a stretch, to be honest. Donkey dick,
I missed
shit
it.
My pants, free space.
If you want to hear
figures,
like the most unique professional wrestling interviews, you got to tune into the Monday Night Show, the Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast that I am part of. We had Frightmare on. If you know Frightmare, he wrestled in Chikara. He's been there a very long time. He's had a relationship with Eddie Kingston. He worked a lot with Brody Lee. We talked about shitting our pants with Frightmare quite a bit. No other wrestling podcast is going to do that. I opened an interview once with Ethan Page talking about shitting your pants. So
I think I was more... Maybe I'm just so desensitized to you talking about shitting your pants because it does come up at an alarming rate. He challenged Tony to shit his pants on air next time he comes back. That's what got me.
But look, it's not your usual typical where did you go to wrestling school bullshit. We have a little bit of fun, and we don't always talk about shit in our pants, but it's up there. Drew Gulak told a great story about shitting his pants once, too, on our podcast.
Well, you we'll also talked to do
our archives.
Doo-doo art with avant-garde. It was fantastic.
That's right. Doo-doo art with Darby avant-garde.
And I know you're not like, let me bring that Monday night craziness into the Wednesday night show, but you do have a 10-year anniversary episode coming up, so we should at least give a little bit of a plug to you for that. My goodness.
Yeah, we're going to have a bang Monday night. We got a full show. It's a 10-year anniversary, a celebration. It'll be on the StreamYard. We'll be, I don't know why, because no one watches it on the StreamYard. You watch it through our social media channels. It'll be Monday night. We got Scion from the NWA. We got Charlie Haas from the world's greatest tag team, wrestling greatest tag team, Team Angle. I got a bunch of surprises up my sleeve that those two other fellers don't know about. And all sorts of lots of fun things. So tune in Monday night to celebrate. There'll probably be very minimal wrestling talk, as it'll just be complete debauchery for X amount of hours. But it's going to be a lot of fun. 10 years is a long time to do something.
Oh, yeah.
What time am I supposed to be on? Just let me know.
You can't ruin the surprise, dude. What's wrong with you? Someone might hear. Tony definitely listens to the replay.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, bro, he listens to every episode. And then, like, the ones that I'm not on, he'll, like, text me about, like, oh, what happened? And I'm like, Tony, I'm like, if I didn't do it, I definitely didn't listen because I can barely fucking keep up myself.
I just got a text from my friend who went on the first Jericho cruise I went on with me. Dear friend of mine from high school named Elise. And she says, I tune in for 2 minutes and you guys are already talking about shitting your pants. What the hell? That was like 10 minutes longer than I would have thought it normally would have taken. But we're not
new rockers are here, so that's a plus.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you should leave a StreamYard square on the Monday night show and just bring legends in that are just pictures of them. Macho Man Randy Savage is here. Oh, that'd be so good.
From beyond the grave.
Beyond, it wouldn't be the first time.
No, that's true. I don't know how Tony gets some of those liners he's gotten for you guys over the past 10 years, but they're fantastic. You should probably revisit that.
He's a man of the people. He has a way. I don't know.
He's a medium. He channels them.
He's something, all right. I don't know if he's a medium. He's probably a large at best.
He's down to a large.
That's good.
The pun hater coming in with a wordplay. I like it.
I mean, you know, medium, oh, yeah. Large. He's fat and old. You guys want to talk about AEW or do you just want to keep bullshitting? We're not talking Rampage. Get that shit out of here. We're saving time. We're not talking Rampage.
Little column A, little column B.
We should probably talk about Full Gear. That's why I don't give a shit about Rampage. We should probably talk about Full Gear.
Oh, I didn't look at the agenda. My apologies.
Yeah, well, why would you start now? I do enjoy...
You see that? You see that? Hurtful. Unnecessary and hurtful.
I do like Cruise Director Mike just taking a stroll across the deck.
He's gonna talk to Ant about his attitude.
Is he strolling across the poop deck?
I like that joke. I like it.
Do we need a showdown?
Yeah, Ant, why are you being so mean to Matt, man? You just made the list.
I'll take the
list.
I don't
even need you guys here.
No. My God.
I mean, it'll ruin my wife's night if I just get up and go join her. But...
She'd be like, can you please go do something?
And I don't look like Jericho at all. All right, we can start.
I say we just all punch out and she can do whatever she wants.
For like Kate needs a second camera and just stick him in front of a camera.
Oh my God. I really do. I might try and make that happen. There's, if you guys just punched out and left me and Cruise Director Mike Jericho, you'd get a text at like dawn. I'd be like, oh yeah, the show's over, guys.
Yeah, we're done. We didn't actually talk about anything. We just
I'm wearing a cowboy hat on top of a hat, and I'm the most insane person here. What the fuck?
Well,
was that a question or a statement?
It's a statement.
You're not the most insane person. You just put a fucking hat on. That doesn't make you insane.
I mean, hat on a hat, buddy.
And you put a bandana over your face. Newsflash, everyone's been wearing bandanas for fucking 18 months, buddy.
Very true.
You know what, Matt?
You're ruining
it. And you know what? You are really going to buy into this cowboy gimmick thing? Put the fucking smoking guns on behind you. Jesus Christ, man.
Ruin the second half of the show.
Damn it. I was going to have to look at fucking Billy and Bart for the second half of the show.
That was after the commercial.
Bad enough I got fucking Leaf Cassidy staring daggers in my eyes.
Ryan.
He loves you.
Does he love me as much as I love fucking Bleacher Report?
Oh, man. Should we talk about that first?
What are we talking about? I must have missed something. What happened on Bleacher Report?
Bleacher Report was basically the Judas in Matt's mind. The Judas in.
Jesus Christ. Somebody has to take that fucking thing and smash it.
How dare you, sir?
If Kate brings it Sunday to my birthday extravaganza.
I want to know what happened with Bleacher Report.
Sucked.
Well, I'll tell you what happened with Bleacher Report there, Ryan Schlong. I talked about it Monday night. For those listening, though, who don't tune
in. I don't remember hearing it.
I ordered the pay-per-view knowing I was not going to be able to watch.
Oh, this all over. Okay.
I had to work. Right, but I want to support AEW, and I know Kevin and Tony will eventually watch it, and I have no problem sharing my login information with them or you guys for that matter. So I had to send out a text to you guys and my other cohorts for Monday night and say, no spoilers. Just please don't fucking spoil this for me. I turned off all Twitter notifications. I went dark Saturday night and all day Sunday. I woke up early Sunday morning just to make sure I had my login information right. And I thought it was weird. I woke up at like 6 o'clock because I do the farmer's market. I thought it was weird that there was no replay yet. It's a little weird, but okay. It's early. Early. I don't know how long this process takes, but it was early, so whatever. Like 11 o'clock, Kevin texts me like, the replay is not up yet. I said, all right, 12 hours, that seems like enough time, but all right, maybe Bleacher Report's a little slow. About 5 o'clock, Kevin's like, there's no on-demand replay. They're just showing it live. Like, they're just replaying the show live.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, this is fucking annoying. Because all now I've avoided spoilers. I know nothing. I know nothing that has happened. I don't know about Jay Lethal. I don't know about Hangman Page. I don't know shit. Seen zero. Come home, I do yoga, I take a shower, I grab a nice adult beverage, I get in my lazy boy chair, I open up old Bleacher Report, I press the play button on the little screen, and I guess it was the live replay, because it was just at the end of the six-man tag match, where I saw Jungle Jurassic Express and Christian Cage beat the Young Bucks and Adam Cole, and I was like, well, fuck me. So I was venting and it's like, oh, just play it and then rewind it. Oh, no, that was not an option, my friends. So now I am tired. I am cranky.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a bitch. I'm a little bitch.
Yeah, you said it. Hold on. 22 minutes into episode 34. Got it.
I instantly went and looked up the spoilers to ruin it for myself because I was already miserable. And then Anthony was being a prick to me about it.
That's right.
And then to boot, I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch New Japan Battle in the Valley. Cause that was Saturday night as well. It was in San Jose, California. It was live on New Japan World. Clearly it should be available. No, it wasn't. No. Only available with Japanese commentary. Although it aired in the United States with American commentary.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I just watched the Ring of Honor Honor for All show. I enjoyed it very much, but I was fucking miserable.
I would be extremely annoyed if I paid $50 in advance from something, was planning on watching it not live, and couldn't. That would also piss me off.
Well, I knew I wasn't going to be able to watch it live, but I was going to watch it on demand. Your hat fell off. And then add in the fact that it was on demand Monday morning, and I put it on in the living room, and Rihanna was getting ready for work. The quality was garbage.
Yeah, I heard a lot of that, too.
Whatever is the lowest quality of picture, that's what it was for, like, the first 2.5 matches.
It was, like, 8 pixels.
It was fucking terrible, and it was glitchy, and I was just, if I had known they were going to put it on Fight TV the next day, I would have just waited and fucking given my money to Fight TV.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. But, I mean, you read the spoilers. You could have just watched it at any point then.
No, but look, we were beyond that. Now I'm just being stubborn.
Yep. That's it.
You know, it's like when you order something like at a restaurant and you get home and it's wrong. And mm-hmm. you just throw it out. You're like, I'm not fucking eating this now. And now you're miserable and you're hungry.
Look at Matt just wasting food. I just throw it in the garbage.
I'm a fucking millionaire. I do whatever I want.
That's right.
Give a shit about the kids with the flies on their faces.
He just burns it.
He was spider face. Right. Cut off his nose, the spider face.
That's right. It's another good Office reference.
Yeah. I was just fucking miserable.
Was
but the pay-per-view was awesome.
The pay-per-view was awesome.
It was an excellent show. From top to bottom, I thought it was a good show. Good card. I didn't think anything felt out of order. Yes, Matt.
Do we have, did anyone tally up the picks we made?
I didn't write down the picks. I thought
I did write down the picks. I did not tally them up, though.
No.
Well, if they're anything like my picks for Monday night, then I fucking shit the bed, so.
I was going to say, I don't know if that's the question you want to ask, friend.
Well, you know what? If I'm going to be a fucking loser across the board, then I'm going to be a fucking loser across the board. So I was just curious.
Well, real quick, we can just run down the card and then I guess talk about whatever anybody wants to talk about. On the buy-in, they had, I'm sorry, who is this fucking loser and Thunder Rosa? Versus Nyla Rose and Jamie
She's
Hayter.
The longest reigning champion Shida. In AEW history.
Nope. She's a loser, and we'll talk about it. Shida and Thunder Rosa defeated Nyla Rose and Jamie Hayter. MJF defeats Darby Allin. The Lucha Brothers defeated FTR to retain their titles. Bryan Danielson defeats Miro to become the number one contender to the AEW heavyweight or world championship, excuse me. Matt saw Christian Cage and Jurassic Express defeat the Super Click before getting angry and turning off the replay. Cody Rhodes and Pac defeat Andrade and Malakai Black. Britt Baker retains her title against Tay Conti. No surprise there. In the battle for Kate's heart, CM Punk defeats Eddie Kingston. The Inner Circle, for some reason, defeat the Men of the Year and American Top Team. And in your main event, Hangman Adam Page defeats Kenny Omega to become the new AEW World Champion. Guys, I thought it was a really strong show. I mean, again, we kind of saw a couple things here where it's like, yeah, Britt's not going to lose. You know, Inner Circle could have kind of gone either way. I didn't really care. But like, I felt like the match order was fine. Nothing felt out of order. Everything made sense. If they shifted a couple things around, like, it still would have been fine. It was just a stacked card. But I loved where they put the Danielson match in the card early enough to keep you interested in what's going to happen in the main event. You know, I thought it was really strong. I've really enjoyed this pay-per-view. And boy, putting Darby and MJF first, holy shit. What a bar to set for this entire show. I've really enjoyed it. I don't know, Kate, if you want to talk about this.
Well, what was your match of the night, first of all? Did you have
my goodness.
It's hard because they were also all very different. Like, that was one thing I really appreciated about this card. Like, every match felt so different.
Yeah. I mean, even when they had a match, right? And I'm not trying to avoid the question, but that was to kind of follow up on your point. What was kind of great about like the Christian Cage and Jurassic Express Super Click match and then the Inner Circle and Top Team match, they were kind of like the same thing, but they were spread so far apart that it was like perfect the way that like you didn't feel like you were just getting the same match on top of one another. Man, I don't know what my match of the night was. Honestly, I think just because it set you up for kind of what you were getting for the night, I think I have to go MJF Darby Allin. Like, Darby Allin, I think, threw his body out of that ring to like start the night off, and I was just like, holy shit. Just incredible. I mean, the whole card was good, but I'll go with MJF Darby Allin.
That's interesting, because I think that was mine too, and that's insane to say with something like, for me, Eddie and Punk, but that just felt so, so different than like a wrestling match. Like, that was just two guys beating the shit out of each other for 11 minutes. There were so many things that I liked about Danielson and Miro. I loved that it started slower and built to this thing. My favorite moment of that match, I think, was Bryan Danielson escaping the game over and Miro just looking up at his god, so pissed off that Bryan Danielson escaped that. Like, such great storytelling. And then of course, like, the main event, they gave us what we wanted, right? And there were so many sweet little things in there of like Hangman's lower third graphic being the graphics team saying, "We're proud of you." I loved the nuances with especially Matt Jackson's face where he was like, "Yeah, this is your moment." There was an exchange between a seemingly almost unconscious Kenny Omega and Adam Page at the end there where it seemed like Page said thank you and Omega whispered something to him. I don't know what it was, but there's a moment there that they could build off of. Punk and Eddie was, I loved because it was just so aware of its limitations and it was the exact story I wanted. Like, no, it's clobbering time on the ramp for Punk, nothing cute. They just came out there, beat the hell out of each other. And like, this is one thing AEW does really well. There's long-term stories and they're not in your face every week. They're going on in the background. Like Kingston and Punk will touch again. Doesn't need to be now. Could be for like when one of them has a title. So that of course was just like so special to me because I'm such a mark, but what Darby and MJF did, I think because I wasn't expecting it to open the show and I thought it would be a great match, but I didn't think it was going to be this good. It just wasn't on my mind as something that was going to steal the show. MJF protected the shit out of Darby on some of those spots. There was such a great story. I liked the skateboard spot because the story had been about MJF trying to mentally beat Darby and he realized physically it wasn't happening. My Fight Club co-host brought up a really good point and I'll echo it here, which was, you know, I think MJF doesn't always wrestle on Dynamite because you would start to respect him and he might get over with this crowd if he did wrestle because he actually is really good. So by letting him just talk and be an asshole and saving and keeping his bump card down because he has long future, like all of these things. But I thought that was a really good point. Like, this is a smart crowd. They're going to catch on to things like that and they might start to root for him or start booing him with a bigger wink and a nod than they do already. And I just thought that was a really good call and probably does factor into that in some way. But he was great in this, as was Darby. But I was just so impressed by the storytelling that happened. And yeah, I mean, just overall a great pay-per-view. I can't believe how well they do with match sequencing on the card, to your point, because not only did everything feel different, like that's a long card. That was 10 matches and it didn't feel too long really at any point. The only thing that I felt like really could have been sacrificed was the Pac Cody Andrade Black thing. Like that just did not work for me really. But the match itself was fine. I just didn't understand the booking or like,
Wait, hold on.
Why it was happening.
As somebody who was sitting there with you, the reason that's the only thing you could sacrifice is because you did sacrifice the Inner Circle American Top Team match and go and get yourself some snacks.
So that's a really good point. That's really that's actually very true. I knew I wasn't going to like that. I didn't know what was happening with that match. And there were spots in it that I liked. I loved Pac just like tagging himself in and Cody doing the same. Like there were some good things there, but that just because it didn't have like the American Top Team and Inner Circle thing had to happen because this feud had to fucking end at some point. This match felt like very thrown together and so unnecessary. It almost just felt like Andrade isn't getting pushed at all and he's a star and we can't go two pay-per-views in a row without Malakai Black being on it and Cody's a top name and Pac rules. Like it just felt very, very thrown together for me. But overall, I mean, just a really gangbusters pay-per-view. I had said that I felt like All Out had bigger moments with a very good card and this had a great card with less like moments, maybe. It was a little more predictable. Not nearly as many surprises outside of the Jay Lethal thing, but I just didn't care because the match quality was so, so high here. So I thought they knocked it out of the park. This was a great pay-per-view and the movie theater gimmick, very fun.
Couple things before we get Matt and Ryan's take on the pay-per-view. So one, to touch on your little nuanced stuff about the main event. One thing I thought that was awesome was in the opening video, the intro video for Hangman. I loved so much the Dark Order running down the ramp to get into the arena, like in the tunnel. That was awesome. So I love that so much. Two, Mike Peterson said it, and I wanted to call it out because I was thinking the same thing. the back fist by Eddie opening up that match on CM Punk. He said it had some extra mustard on it. Holy shit. What a back fist. And then Rob Humphrey also had some comments. He said that Pac and Cody and Andrade Black match felt like something they could have had on Dynamite. Thought both multi-men matches went a little too long. Those were the only complaints. Yeah, I mean, those matches did seem to go a little long, but they were kind of closing loop on the story, so I'll give them that, you know? But I feel like if you were going to move something around on the card, they could have maybe opened up with Cody and Pac and Andrade and Malakai, like maybe, but I'm not mad about the way it opened with MJF and Darby. I'm just saying, like, if you want to say, like, what else could they have opened with? That probably would have been the only other thing I would have said you could move to the front of this card, because everything else, you know, between these two matches, you know, everything else had other implications. So, I mean, man, it was so strong.
I would not be a CM Punk mark if I didn't call out the fact that he basically did Cena's five moves of him doing shoulder blocks. Like, the five knuckle shuffle spot was great, but CM Punk throwing a shoulder block when he's like my height and not that much bigger, like, popped me huge. I thought that was fun. And the mixed crowd reactions was something I was expecting, but Punk is so good at those little things of just like, am I getting booed right now? Like, he told the story with his face a little bit, like, just a very, one of my other co-hosts had said that, like, it felt very like Austin Hart when they double turned, like, this, am I getting booed? Like, loved the little acknowledgement to that. And I liked that he went to do the five knuckle shuffle and then ultimately threw up a middle finger. It felt very much like still in CM Punk world, but the crowd was so hot for that. And it was just so much like generic noise because both of them are so over, which I thought was very, very fun, but mostly those shoulder blocks just popped me.
That was fun. I totally forgot about that. Matt, I know you saw this pay-per-view late, but what'd you think when you finally got to see it start to finish?
I thought it was an excellent show. Excellent show. I think they did a great job. The way they laid that card out was fantastic. For as long as that story was told, Adam Page and Kenny Omega was my match of the night. With obviously Darby and MJF right there, and Kingston and Punk number three for me. The main event was unbelievable. I liked how they left the interference to a minimum. There was the one Don Callis spot and the one ref bump. I was really happy to see the stuff with the Young Bucks. The little things are really going to mean something down the road. And it opens up so many possibilities. We talked about it Monday night on the Shining Wizards with, you know, all the rumors flying around, like, are we going to see Red Dragon and Adam Cole against the Young Bucks and Adam Page as like a reunion of the Elite? What's the future hold for Kenny Omega? You know, all that stuff comes out that he was wrestling with the Vertigo and those weird videos where he's getting hit with a fucking like steel pick. And it feels good by some doctor. Very interesting. And then the MJF Darby Allin match was fucking bonkers. The whole card itself, those really stick out with honorable mentions for Jurassic Express and Cage against the Super Click, because I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It's kind of. It's hard, I guess, like. I would say MJF and Darby, because Kate had asked, like, what was your match of the night? That was probably the match of the night, but it's hard, like, for me, thinking about, like, which match did I like most because of the storyline implications, that's also kind of hard for me to pick, too, because I'm just sitting thinking you're giving kind of your top three. I don't even know where I'd go, like, because of things, like, that dealt with stories, because everything had a story pretty much, right? Like, the women's match didn't necessarily have a long-term story, but there were so many long-term stories here that were kind of getting played out. I don't even know what I'd kind of put on that list. But that Hangman Kenny main event really wrapped everything up beautifully, and we're going to talk about where we're going next with Hangman and everything else as we get into Dynamite tonight, so stay tuned. Schlong, what did you think of this show?
I love the show. I mean, I'm not going to say try to repeat too much. My match of the night, I think if you, you kind of just said it, if you're looking, if you ignore the story going into it and the story coming out, am I the only one who heard myself there?
Okay, I'm hearing the echo. I'm hearing it.
It's Kate's thing. Again, her stuff's janky. If you ignore the story going into it and the story coming out, then I think Darby MJF is the best match of the night match-wise. But when you put in story implications and all the motions behind it, I you have to go main event just because they told the match as perfect as you could for that story. I think it almost is better that they didn't put on a typical Kenny Omega five-star classic, because I don't think that was what you wanted out of that match. You wanted more emotion. You wanted more story. If I'm going to speak of the highlight moment of the night, and I've put it on Twitter a couple times, it's when the Bucks are putting tacks in Jungle Boy's mouth, and I look over to Kate, who has the widest smile I have ever seen on anyone's face. Legitimate joy as Jungle Boy just has thumbtacks jammed into his mouth. So she's sick.
I like the violence.
Apparently,
Do you want my login info for the Nick Gage Invitational?
You know what? Sure. Let's get.
Once I watch that, I'll get it to you.
Okay.
It's on my list of things I have to finish watching this week.
I like Punk versus Eddie. I like actually Punk versus Eddie. I like a lot more based on tonight because it shows it to be a lot more of a understanding the story and the roles rather than trying to make a square peg fit in a round hole. You'll see tonight. They didn't really change. It doesn't seem like they've changed too much about who Punk is. They let him be that role in that match.
He's the best in the world.
Yeah, he is. So what? You were saying?
The FTR versus Lucha Brothers match was good. The ending was weird, which I read though might have been because Dax, was it, that actually might have got a concussion?
I think it was Cash, but yeah, he got his bell run very early in the match. And that by the time they got to the finish, he was like, I can't see so much. So,
so
they went home weird and early on that.
I'll forgive a weird finish because of an injury. Also, Kate, Jay Shell wants you to reenact the smile. Please do. Yeah, legitimately, like it was just, I mean, this poor boy, just thumbtacks. Even if he spit 90% of them out, that's still 10% of those thumbtacks in his mouth.
He's no boy. He's a jungle man.
He's jungle man. He has beard. They are abusing that spot, though. They did it with Abaddon. They did it with Eddie. It's losing its luster, so they got to be careful with it, but it was fun.
Maybe he left a couple in because he wants Anna Jay's fingers in his mouth.
Wow. Oof. I mean, I would think he'd be able to anyway because they're together. But
You've broken Kate. I like the Luchasaurus' backflip off the moonsault off the stage, and Jungle Boy's reaction was like, holy shit, he's not supposed to do that. He's too big. I also love the big storytelling element of having Jungle Boy be the one to hit the concerto, because it gives him that edge that I think like a baby face like him needs. You don't want a simple, I only do good things baby face. That's so boring. I like it's kind of, if you go back to the WWE, how they made Bayley fail a couple times because they refused to let her have that edge. You need to have an edge. So him doing that was great.
If he hit Marco's stunt with the chair.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
What? You got to get rid of the hanger-ons, man.
My only complaint about the pay-per-view was that Marco's stunt at no point cleared the entire ring and ramp. I mean,
true.
I guess Luchasaurus doing a shooting star press off the ramp is cool. But to Ryan's point, he also turned down doing the concerto earlier in the match and then came back and was like, no, I'm ready to deliver this. That was really great storytelling. I'm glad you called that spot out, because this mentorship with Christian could go a lot of different ways. So that's very fun. And my bad, it was Dax Harwood, not Cash. That got
his yeah. I wasn't sure because Cash finished the match, didn't he? He put the mask on. You could see the hair.
He did.
Yeah. I'll forgive him for an injury. Yeah. I mean, lots of things.
But they did call back to that too. And we'll talk about that later. So it does kind of play into where they're going with this a little bit. So it was a little weird, but it made sense, I guess, for the story that they're going to tell moving forward.
Jason Shaw in the chat is saying there was a Marco spot planned. I am so curious what that would have been.
It would have been that he single-handedly took out every member of the Super Click and Kenny Omega and Hangman in the main event.
Is that what the
He would have walked out the tag match and the women's match. He would have taken all of the gold in one night,
including the AAA titles. So it would have been Marco Stunt, AAA, tag, world champ, and women's champ. But we let Sammy Guevara keep his title because that would be ridiculous.
He was going to clean all their taints in the locker room.
Matthew.
Well, that's all he's good for. And then they decided they were short on time, so they couldn't show that. So it was a Manscaped read like thing for them. They were going to start promoting Manscaped. They thought Marco Stunt should clean all their taints in the locker room.
Did anyone watch? And sorry, it kind of applies this. Did anyone watch BT this week when you had Cutler's behind the scenes of that match?
Yes.
The shot where he sprayed was it Matt in the face with the or Nick, I can't remember, but when he sprayed one of them in the face with the cold spray, just the yelling he does, he's been such a great stooge.
He has. He's awesome. See,
Rob Humphrey gets it. Kenny Omega is the cleaner, Marco is the taint cleaner.
How dare you?
Get your fucking taint cleaner t-shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com, Marco. You're welcome. You're welcome.
And then,
you know what else I liked? Before, I'm sorry to cut you off, Schlong. I'm sorry. You're really throwing me off. I think there's like three guys in the fucking room with you. It's creeping me out. I loved the fact that there was no one-winged angel and Adam Page didn't kick out. This weird narrative that, okay, Kenny Omega didn't hit a one-winged angel. Excuse me.
But Kenny Omega is the only one to kick out of a one-winged angel.
No. No, this weird narrative that people want to see Hangman kick out. There's only one person that kicks out of the One-Winged Angel, and that story is going. It will be told. It will be told on AEW television in time.
It will.
Isn't he hurt?
Who? Fuck boy? No, he's fine. He's got dumb hair. Get him out of here.
No. Kenny.
We'll talk about Kenny's injuries later.
Kenny came with like a. With a wing, like he had on one side of his gear.
Yep.
Basically, just like fabric streaming down.
So he was a one-winged angel.
He was his own one-winged angel, so.
Yeah. He's done that before, too, and I love it every time he does it. He's done it with black feathers or black fabric. I think this time it was white. So
yeah, it was like a silvery white, but they're very good at when the internet agrees on something. Acknowledging it however they choose, and I thought it was just so prominent this time, and then they gave you everything you wanted but that, and it didn't need that, so that will be for Okada.
So the question is, do we discuss the Jay Lethal signing?
Why wouldn't
we? Sure. So no, I would
there's a lot of drama behind it. Not drama, I should say, but a lot of...
He comes with some baggage.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Kate. Yeah.
So I'd like to call out a couple things here about the Jay Lethal signing. I was sitting on the couch. The doctor was over. We were watching. And Shivani's out there and he's like, you know, we have, you know, we want to introduce somebody who's traveled the world, won championships all over, well-respected. Jay. And I was like on the verge of popping super hard. And then he goes, Lethal. And I was like, fuck. I thought it was Jay White. So bad. But Jay Lethal's good. Listen, Jay Lethal's good from the perspective of Like, he's somebody who can come in and, you know, have matches like he had tonight, right? Like, he's just experienced. He's been all over, and he can have strong matches. Some of the interesting things I thought was if anybody actually saw, like, the post-show media scrum, Jay Lethal actually spoke, and numerous times he said, yeah, Ring of Honor, like, he basically was like, yep, Ring of Honor is over. Like, basically saying that, yeah, they're closing up shop and it's done. I thought that was kind of interesting too, because that's not really the story that's out there. And he pretty much flat out said numerous times, like, I'm gone because Ring of Honor is done. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but I don't know about any of the baggage, to be quite honest. I don't know if Matt or Ryan, either of you guys have that kind of to discuss, but you know, whatever you want to say about the Jay Lethal signing, please feel free.
I mean, the baggage is there, and you know, there's people, they're pretty steep accusations. You know, you got to kind of walk a fine line. From my perspective, I wasn't there. I'm not going to say he did or didn't do it, but.
So do you want to actually say what the accusations are? Because I honestly don't know what you're talking about.
Let me pull it up just because I want to make sure that I get it right.
Okay.
I know the one for sure. The other one I'm a little questionable about. Like the details, because I wasn't watching, obviously.
Let's see. It was Taylor Hendricks. She announced on Twitter that refusing to sleep with Ring of Honor World Champion Jay Lethal during her tenure with the company a few years ago led to her time with Ring of Honor to be sabotage. The following day, a second accuser came forward, Alabet anonymously. Jay Lethal went on Twitter and said, please do not use my words here as fuel to attack myself or my accuser. There's already too much hate going around the world, so let's not add to it. Then she says, deny all you want. You sent me this before you pulled me aside at a live event, told me what you told me, just because the business has been a certain way for so long. I'm tired of it, and I'm fighting for what's right. Then there's a text message. Taylor, it's me, Jay. Are you busy? Taylor, I really talked to you. Please let me know when you have a moment to talk, please. So it's some pretty heavy shit there. You know, it's going to anytime that's out there and then he gets signed, especially with a company like AEW, who says they're, you know, for everybody and they're all inclusive and they're not going to tolerate any of this. You know, it's going to come up, and he was never charged with anything, but she never changed her story. So it's from my understanding, I didn't follow up. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's still a gray area. I'm still sure she's sticking to her guns and he's still saying he didn't do anything, but you know, it doesn't sound like the most far-fetched thing in the world, unfortunately, because it's the fucking nasty, gross wrestling business.
I will say, I don't think there's much you can charge him with simply because he didn't actually do anything to her. Because she wouldn't sleep with him, so then the accusation is she wouldn't sleep with him, so then she just got taken off TV. So you can't do assault, you can't do any of that stuff. It really becomes more like workplace stuff, and that's a lot harder, I think, to prove, especially in a business like wrestling, where you can make up a myriad of reasons why she was taken off that TV that have nothing to do with that. Even if that is the reason, you can make up lies. I mean, because they do it for non-serious stuff all the time. Just because they don't like someone, they take them off TV for bullshit reasons. Like, so I think the big drama of the weekend, though, and I will say, is that no one asked about it. Like, AEW didn't have to justify the hiring at all. They were just like, yep, we'll talk about his dream matches, not him coming in.
So I'll just chime in this and then I'll leave it alone. There's two things that I'm a little confused about. One thing is that Taylor Hendricks has contributed to multiple wrestling media platforms. So there are multiple ones that couldn't ask about it because it would be like a conflict of interest situation. That's true for a few. The thing I don't get is, and Jay Lethal is great, but I'm just like, I'm a little confused. I don't necessarily know how he really even fits in. Like, for a company that's gotten raked over the coals, and they should, about the lack of representation for Black performers, and who seem to be actively trying to change that narrative with Leo Rush and Lee Moriarty and people like that, I don't understand why you would take your biggest criticism and then throw a bunch of gasoline on it, because it's just like, hey, this is a black mark on the company. Let's bring in someone when there's so much black talent out there who does come with this baggage. Like, I just don't, I don't understand it. I feel like you could go get Jonathan Gresham instead.
Well, my only question is, the accusations are out there. I guess I had not heard of them prior or even up until this point, to be honest. This is the first I'm learning about it. So have these accusations been out there for some time, or is this just coming to light because of his recent signing?
No, they were out there, I think, before the Me Too stuff.
Yes. Okay. They are older. And there hasn't been anything since. So you hope that, assuming it's true, he has at least maybe changed his behavior in that way. Like, sure, that there hasn't been other people coming forward. So, you know, you hope that that's the case. But, like, I don't know. Go get Shane Taylor.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I mean, you know, my question is not to absolve him of anything. I just literally didn't know. And maybe it's just me didn't really follow a lot of like Ring of Honor talent super close for a while. So I just didn't know.
You're going to Ring of Honor shows for the haunted hotels.
I am. I am. I mean, listen, I don't get to watch it on TV or YouTube, whatever, all the time, but it's a fun live show and we'll be there. When is that? December 11th, right?
Yes.
December 11th in Baltimore. The Mark Order will be in the house. We will be finally getting Jimmy's Famous Seafood.
Yes.
Third, fourth time's the charm. Third time's the charm.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was on the docket the first time we went down, though.
No, I think it was like a passing comment, and then our driver was like, let's go, and we left. But yeah, this time we'll make it happen. Haunted Hotel. It's all got to happen because who knows if it's going to happen again. But anyway.
It'll happen again. Relax.
Well, hey, listen, you don't know. But there is talent out there that, you know, they could have signed. Listen, I don't know how Jay Lethal is going to fit in. Like I said, he's going to have good matches, right? Like, he's going to have serviceable matches. He'll be consistent. You know, to the point of the accusations, you would hope that they did a little bit of homework or investigation on their side. But you'll have to answer for this stuff. So,
I love Jay Lethal. I think he's a fantastic worker. In AEW, he is nothing more than a mid-card guy. He's going to have great matches, but you will never see him at the world title level. Like he was in Ring of Honor, and maybe that's okay. Maybe he's reached that point in his career where he's going to go and he's going to have bangers with Sammy Guevara and, you know, put over the Darby's and the MJFs and the Dante Martins of the world. But, you know, he reached the mountain in Ring of Honor. And for him to go and do, you know, say that stuff in the media, I mean, he kind of, you know, nothing is certain, so he can go out there and say Ring of Honor's done. Like, that's, I'm not going back there. It's not coming back because he doesn't know. But
Ring of Honor knows. I don't know if anybody can say that definitively, you know. So
we'll see. It's super annoying because they put on phenomenal TV.
Yes, they do.
The story they're telling right now with Jay Lethal and the Foundation and Vincent is fan fucking tastic and. It's just frustrating because there's going to be, you know, no Ring of Honor by the end of the year.
You know, Delirious does not get enough credit, really, for, like, he stepped into Marty's role and did such a good job booking-wise. Like, he really deserves a ton of credit for what he's done for that promotion and continue to do for that promotion. So, yeah. Like, it always makes sense. All of his booking makes sense.
Let me ask you a hot button topic here.
Oh,
is the hiring of Jay Lethal them dipping their toe in the water to see what the response would be if they hired Marty?
I thought about that, and with Ospreay, though the Ospreay stuff continually makes less sense to me why people don't like him.
Oh, he's awesome. That's why people don't like him. And because they drank a bunch of Double Jack and Cokes.
That's you. I thought about that, whether that was a test balloon for Marty, but, like, I think the thing that's surprising about this is that Tony Khan's been so aware of keeping the locker room very clean, and just the talk of Marty showing up in New Japan was, like, nuclear enough that they pulled the plug on it. So maybe it's a test balloon, but I don't think, I don't think you want to do that, but he's dating Serena Deeb, right? So who the hell knows?
And I know he wrestled. He stepped in the ring like this last past weekend overseas, and he won some championship. Yes. I think
wasn't it Puerto Rico?
I thought it was Germany, but I
could be wrong. I think he also was booked for, like, Puerto Rico, where they probably let him go. Didn't he get accused of, like, underage girls?
He admitted to having sexual relations with a 16-year-old, claiming he didn't know she was 16 at the time.
And it's in the UK, so that is technically illegal. It's illegal in America. Right.
But she was drunk, and she was drunk, and he took advantage of her.
I just feel like even if the Lethal situation, I mean, there's some talk that they that there's been, what is it, investigations for the Lethal situation. That's why they kept him on. Whereas clearly they cut and run with Marty right away. I also think, as much as Lethal could be a test, there's a large jump in this, at least here, from, yeah, he was trying to get a girl to sleep with him using his power, to it was an underage girl. People don't really stand for the underage thing. I think that's a really big jump to try to make.
Yeah, that's very different. You're right.
There's a lot of weird stuff with all those, with what happened with Marty, right? As Kate said, it's like, she was 16, it's legal in the UK, it's kind of, it's gross, you know, though, still, whether it's legal or not, it's gross. And then she's, you know,
you also just don't, like, need it, like,
agreed,
it should matter, but it's like, look agreed at the roster right now and look at who's becoming available real soon, like, you just don't,
yeah,
like, I just don't need that.
Listen, before all that stuff came out about Marty, and when he showed up on BTE and they were kind of, like, getting everything going with AEW, would that have been awesome? Sure. Now it's like, I don't need to see Marty show his face in AEW and have everything go haywire. I just don't need it. Don't want it.
You know? Yeah, and it would be more of a distraction than a benefit, I think, as well.
Yeah. And they're telling fine stories without him, and everybody's past with each other. So it's like, you don't need to shoehorn him into all of that.
Agreed.
Well, I don't know if anybody else or if anybody has anything else to say about Full Gear, but I think it's kind of unanimous that we thought that it was a good show. I will say this, though. We're talking about people showing up in AEW. Rob Humphrey, I think, says it all. All we need is Danhausen.
Guys, the tweets between him and CM Punk. My heart. It was so cute and wholesome. I loved it.
So wholesome.
It was.
I agree. I thought it was a very fun thing on Twitter.
And then you also throw Warhorse in there, too.
That's right. Warhorse,
he's just like Marco Stunt. He's just a third wheel. All right, hang her on. Knock it off.
Warhorse?
Go be metal. All right. Stop tagging along with Danhausen. All right.
You love metal.
I love metal.
How dare you?
People who don't respond to my messages and emails.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's the bigger. Dan Housen also does not respond to your emails. Thank you.
Yeah, but, we know Dan Housen's very evil.
That's a very good point.
He has a broken leg, so.
That's very
good. He does.
I also enjoyed the Big Tom announcement during Full Gear. Didn't enjoy what happened after Full Gear, but whatever.
We'll talk about it.
Fuck, a banger of a match between him and Jay White. Banger.
Banger.
I know AEW ruled the week. I know we're going into a commercial break. I will put these matches up against any matches from AEW. Moose versus Juice Robinson. Moose versus Juice was fucking... Moose is unbelievable. Versus Buddy Matthews was fucking... Buddy Matthews is a tank. He's a tank with legs.
Okay.
Jay White and Big Tom Ishii was fucking... Those three matches, put them up against any three from AEW. They were just as good.
That's awesome.
I have a question. Matt, did the New Japan shows we were at actually get on... Were they aired yet?
They should be airing, if not this week, next week.
Oh, we have to check it out, because you definitely will be able to be heard the whole fucking show. The whole show. We were right, pretty much right next to commentary. Yeah, I can't believe you weren't yelling at commentary all night.
I didn't have any qualms with the commentary team.
Well, still.
You gaslighter!
I was super excited to go to a wrestling show, but I had been up since very early in the morning. And I had a hot dog and then like four double Jack and Coke. So it's not an excuse.
Courage.
I should be better. I am very entertaining at wrestling shows, but I may have been a little irresponsible.
I can't imagine, Kate. I am so looking forward to Ring of Honor, because what could possibly the final Ring of Honor pay-per-view show?
Final show. Stop.
What could be? I think Matt will be in rare form, Kate.
I don't want to say Ring of Honor is my favorite live experience, because it's just, I feel like comparing that to AEW or WWE is such its own thing, but it's easily some of the most enjoyable times that I've had at a wrestling show. And I just sincerely don't know if I would necessarily feel that way if I didn't go without you guys, and specifically Matt, who just is perfect at, I don't know, calling out one of the wrestlers' dog walkers in front of us in the most like playful but like respectful way. But like, it's just, there's something that feels so familial about those shows that I'm going to miss them for only the first quarter of next year, because they'll be back.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Well, with that, I think it's time we should take a little break here. I think we should take a break. And Matt mentioned it before. The Shining Wizards are on their way to 10 years. Monday night, Matt? That's 10 years?
Yeah, buddy, Monday.
They're on their way. This is the home stretch to 10 years. Monday night, 10 years. And Kate, did you know that they have their own network, the Shining Wizards Network?
Get out of town. Are there other great shows on it?
Well, I guess, let me throw this question to Ryan. Ryan, did you know that the Mark Order podcast is part of the Shining Wizards Network?
No way.
Yeah, we're on it right now.
You're welcome.
And there are other great shows. To everybody, Matt, did you know there are other great shows that are part of the Shining Wizards Network?
Yeah.
Now he's just lying. Come on, stop fibbing. Because I didn't know. And the only way anybody...
I've heard the same commercials for the past couple of years, so...
Well, the only way anybody else is going to know if they listen to this commercial, if they listen to this commercial coming up, and then actually go check out those shows, because there's some really good shows, and you'll find out about them now.
You have exactly 4 minutes and 17 seconds to get a drink, go to the bathroom, skip this on your iPod.
No, don't skip it. Listen. Listen. Because we want people to listen to ours on Monday nights.
Yes. I don't tell people. I don't tell people to skip the commercial block on Monday nights.
Do you listen on your iPod to podcasts?
I don't know.
You download it, and then you have to plug your iPod in physically to your computer. Yeah. Remember that when you had to physically plug in your iPod? Wow. I actually still have my iPod somewhere.
Yeah, I still have my iPod too.
It's very outdated at this point. Anyway, we're getting way off track. The whole point of this. The whole point of this is that there are other fantastic shows that are part of the Shining Wizards Network that we're proud to be part of. Check out some of their words right now.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantdmradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still Wrestling Talk and Talk About Wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb. And every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode, we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
And we're back on the Shining Wizards Network. It's the Mark Order Podcast. Shalong, what do you got going on now? What do you, you got a little,
hold on.
Shalong's losing it. Shalong, you gotta get you gotta get like a pet. We gotta get you like a fish or a turtle or something.
I think this is just a lovely look for me that I can't keep because it's choking me out, but I was gonna do Prison Mike, but I was like, I can't pull that. I can't do the voice.
What's the worst part of prison?
The Dementors.
Oh, all right. How about the food?
Gruel.
Oh. Gruel. Oh, you know, man.
They're not teasing you, Michael. They don't want to. Do you think they'd rather spend a day in prison than come to work?
That's such a good episode.
I love the whole series. I got to go rewatch them. Not on the Peacock. Fuck the Peacock.
Wow. I enjoy the Peacock.
I don't. Fuck that.
I'll tell you, dude.
Another service to pay for.
Check it out. The Bob Ross channel is fucking killer. Just Alone. That and the Dateline channel.
I mean, there's enough Bob Ross on Netflix.
I think I can paint like Bob Ross. I think I'm going to try.
Well,
Patreon exclusive.
You've got a week.
Week for what?
You've got a week until you maybe can show some artwork on this show.
I got to get an easel and I got to get the liquid paint and the paint thinner and I get all the colors.
An easel, huh?
How else am I supposed to paint? I have one in the basement that the people that used to live here left.
Oh, there you go.
Like an artist's table.
I would do. Okay. Come on, Matt, please. Not even Patreon exclusive. Screw it. Go on StreamYard. Put it to YouTube, Twitter, everywhere. Matt of the Shining Wizards paints.
I'd have to paint with a Bob Ross video, though.
I mean, you could have it on and follow along.
Yeah, that's the plan. I think I can do it.
That's fine. I believe in you.
Just got to get the right utensils, and I can't hold that weird thing with all the paint on it because I would definitely get it all over. What?
Utensils?
No. That he's got like the painter's like he's got all the colors on it.
Yeah, that's a palette. But
okay, yeah, I could never use because I would definitely get it all over my shirt because he's like such a fucking professional.
But Bob Ross. You said you need to get all of the right utensils.
The instruments, brushes, and gimmicks, and all sorts of shit.
Utensils are like what you eat with, right?
You could tell that I fucking worked in a restaurant for the last 20-something years.
Amazing.
Yeah, maybe. I think I can paint like Bob Ross. Between Bob Ross and The Office and Dateline, without commercials, I'm all in. Oh, and the
guys, I hate to say, I think utensil is the right word, by the way.
I would have called them, I don't know.
Paintbrushes.
Brushes.
Yeah. Well, that's like the word that everyone used. But
he doesn't use just paintbrushes. He's got the thing, the little scraper gimmick.
I know. I mean, he makes trees in like 4 seconds with those little knives. It's like, and you're just like, what? How did you make all the birds?
That's right. Everybody thought that they were going to get Dynamite recaps and rankings and all this stuff. We're just going fucking Bob Ross. Heel turn on the Mark Order Podcast.
No, you
were just face turn if I've ever
Bob
seen
Ross.
Him.
You were disparaging the peacock, and I enjoy the peacock.
Matt loves the cock. He said it.
I love the cock.
1 hour, 18 minutes. Got it.
You better be writing these down.
22. Here's my pen.
22. 22 skidoo.
And then 1 hour, 18. Got it. Well, folks, it's that time of the night. Oh, sorry, Rob Humphrey from the dictionary, utensil, a useful tool or implement. Well,
told you.
I do a podcast with a bunch of utensils.
Well played.
Thanks for sorry. Useful.
Well played. Hey, Dynamite happened, but tools. We have rank. Thanks, right?
I don't have the wraps. I don't even know the rankings. I can try.
Let's do it.
I can try.
Do it cold. We're doing it cold.
Style. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
That's right. All right, Matt. Here we go. We're going to start. We're going to go front to back. The men's rankings are going to go first. Right. So Here we go. Let's take a look here.
Oh, God.
Hold on. Actually, this is not the view I want to be giving you because it's smaller than usual. Hold on.
That's what she said.
Well, you know. So. Oh, man. Some of us are growers. Some of us are showers.
Yes, I'm a grower.
Very true.
That's my wife. She tells all the people.
Your wife who has a big black dick.
Right.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. A little bit better.
Okay. All right. Who's that at number five?
Come on.
Is that Miro? Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. Do I have last week's? I don't know where last week's. Hold on. No, I want to see. Before I start rapping, let me see if there's some references I can make here.
Going to recycle content.
And no, these are rankings. We're not going to recycle content.
All right.
All right. You ready?
Don't say anybody's great then.
Nope.
It's best, first of all.
Great, best, none of that.
Full Gear has come and gone. Number five, he's no longer. Number two, he's Miro. He lost his god. Now he is a fucking slob. Number four is Jungle Man. Shaved his beard. He's got a plan. Scorpio Sky sits at number three. He still beats Jericho. Can't you see? Number two is the cleaner himself. Former world champ. He's not in good health. Number one is Bryan Danielson. The Red Dragon is coming to get some.
Right.
Not my best work. Not my best work.
You really turned it around, though, at Kenny and Danielson. Those were great.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have time to write down my raps. I'm sorry, guys.
It's all right. Freestyle.
Hold on. Rob Humphries. Freestyle or nothing. So this is where we're at. This is what the people want. Joe Evans signed up to be a Patreon supporter at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. So the least I can do is rap for Joe Evans and all the fans out there in Mark Order land.
Well, let's
give me the bitches, ladies. Whatever.
Let's keep this gravy train rolling. It's a gravy train with biscuit wheels.
All right, let's see.
It's something.
My eyes are bad. That looks like Asuka, number five.
That's not the best picture of Chris Stan.
Are they the fucking same as last week? Let me
look, hold on. I don't know.
Let's see. Tay.
No. Stay okay. Dropped.
Okay. Number five, though, still Statlander. Number
four. Matt is the Jay-Z of rankings rapping. Oh, man. We were so close to getting through like the first hour without burps.
I'm drinking. What do you want from me?
And we are through the first hour.
Yeah, we're at the hour 22.
Right. Wrap your wraps.
All right. Well, don't just
now. She's annoyed that you're wrapping the wraps.
Fresh off of Full Gear. Here we go. Britt Baker. She's number one, yo. Or no, she's the champ, yo. I don't know why I have to put Full Gear in there. What's today's date? November 17th. Here's the ladies. Number five is Chris Statlander. She's in the same place she was last week. Nyla Rose, the beast indeed. Number four, she smokes the weed.
Tay Conti
is number three. She lost to Britt, so she fell, you see. Thunder Rosa, gonna get your ass. Number two, through the glass. Number one is that bad bitch, Jade Cargill. She'll split you, bitch.
Genius. Oh. Bitch with bitch. Just amazing.
I
mean,
I did not
have time. I don't want to hear about my best overusage again.
My God.
All right.
The wheels are falling off this gravy train.
I didn't have time. Give me the tag team. Just get this shit over with.
Here we go. Tag teams.
All right. Santana and Ortiz at number five. Keeping our dreams alive. Acclaim sits at number four. Max Castro will rap. Call your mom a whore. FTR at number three. They're wearing crazy masks. Guess which one you see? Number two is Jurassic Express. Right? They're Jurassic Express. That was called Lucha Express. Number two is Jurassic Express. Jungle Boy's got a lot of hair on his chest. Number one is the Young Bucks. The fuck up the Lucha Bros. They don't give a fuck. Fucking fuck. And say you bitch again.
Oh my God.
This is Eminem, Rob. This is Rob Humphries. Right. Or no, this is Eminem. Rob Humphries.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I tank these hard. It's embarrassing. I'm sorry, Joe. I'll give you your dollar back.
Joe said hopefully one day we get cruise director Mike singing the rankings. Maybe next week we'll get
Cruise director
Mike in.
Maybe I'll write the raps for cruise director Mike and he can sing them.
Cruise director Mike doesn't need to rap the rankings. He can.
It'll just be set to Judas every time.
Yeah, I pigeonholed myself with this rap. God damn it. I'm not a rapper.
Rankings rap.
Oh, yeah.
Rankings crap.
The rankings rap are craps.
The problem is with cruise director Mike, everyone's number three. Everybody's.
I mean, I rhymed bitch with bitch and then fuck with fuck, so.
It's true.
Slob with God. That was an impressive one.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, you can't rhyme slob with God!
Why not?
They don't sound the same.
If you try hard enough, it'll rhyme.
That's what she said.
Yup, okay. Going to the well too much.
Oh,
so guys,
God. Yeah.
We're gonna talk about Dynamite, but we should make sure to mention it's okay, but we should mention a couple things before we get into Dynamite. Obviously Hangman Adam Page won the championship at Full Gear, and he was part of the media scrum. He didn't have a whole lot of thoughts, but he did say that it's very likely they're going to put out a press release. And he did that. So the press release was sent out for release. It says for release sometimes after BTE goes up, I guess. And it said Hangman Adam Page shares his thoughts after being crowned All Elite Wrestling World Champion at Full Gear. After celebrating his championship win over Kenny Omega at AEW Full Gear by sharing 17 orders of baby back ribs from Chili's with the Dark Order, answering 74 congratulatory text messages and two asking to get booked on Dark, and snoring his way through two early morning Delta Airlines flights home, Hangman Adam Page has decided to share his thoughts about and intentions as AEW World Champion. Hangman Adam Page is declaring that this Wednesday, November 17th, is the first National Cowboy Shit Day. There's an asterisk next to that, which he says, pending approval from the National Day Archives, which I really doubt is going to happen since their last correspondent simply said, stop emailing us about that. With celebrations live from his home state of Virginia this week on Dynamite. So we were expecting that. Hangman also said he will continue to increase his strength and cardiovascular training, add additional dynamic and static stretching to his routine to limber out his rigid frame, and study the vegan diet in order to prepare for his number one contender, Bryan Danielson. As champion, Hangman Adam Page will welcome all other challengers as AEW sees fit, but please, God, don't make him fight Wardlow and his big muscle tits again. After seeing the unofficial, unauthorized, and most brilliant display of I Don't Give a Shit About Copyright, The Good, The Bad, and The Elite series on YouTube, Hangman Adam Page will use his new leverage as champion to get that guy a job, or at the very least, a nice letter and fruit basket. With the bonus payment that comes with winning the AEW World Championships, Hangman Adam Page will trade in his gas-guzzling truck for an electric vehicle in an effort to reduce planet-warming emissions and encourage others to make the switch when they see how badass it looks with steer horns mounted on the front or whatever. Hangman Adam Page would like to send a genuine and heartfelt thank you to the many fans that never gave up on him, even when he gave them every reason to. They've helped him accomplish more than he had ever imagined. If you'd like to hear more of Hangman Adam Page's thoughts on his recent championship win, quote, tell them I ain't doing any more of those podcasts as long as I live. You think I want to be on that Don and Dookie YouTube show or whatever? Yeah, right. Get a clue. I'm champion now. I got so much shit to do. I'm already so stressed. What a great release from Hangman Adam Page. And I do have to say this. He made good on his promise. He did get one of them electric vehicles with horns on the front of it.
Oh,
looks pretty good. Looks pretty good.
But he's not going to do our podcast.
He wasn't going to do podcasts, and he is not here tonight. So he's keeping good on that promise, too.
Yeah.
You know what? Adam Page. Adam Page responds to emails, people. Just going to put that out there. May not have been this year, but in the past. I'm just going to put that out there. Good guy. That's all I asked for.
I'll say this. That car does look pretty badass with the horns on it.
Hell yeah.
He was asked on Twitter. I think it was by Trent. Is that one of them fast ones? And I believe his response was something like, it's better than my old ride, which was 1 horsepower or something like that. So so he's doing good. He's doing good as champion. And that leads us into Dynamite, where it was National Cowboy Shit Day, and we were celebrating. So we opened this week with a highlight reel from Full Gear, and we get them to hype up the card. But we don't go right into wrestling. This is one of the rare occurrences where Dynamite actually starts out with non-wrestling material. And the first thing we get is a promo from the Elite, where there's a depressed Kenny Omega saying he hasn't watched a match back, and people have been asking when he gets his rematch, and frankly, he's disgusted. Not in Hangman, he won. He wishes Hangman congratulations. But there are things that Kenny needs to change, and not in AEW. But not in AEW, and ask the Young Bucks to hold things together while he's gone. But he doesn't really make it clear who he's talking to, as Adam Cole's there. And Adam Cole says that he will. But then Kenny clarifies, and he says he wasn't talking to him. He was talking to the Bucks, and then the Bucks kind of awkwardly say they will hold it down and do it without Kenny. And then they basically say to cut the video. You know, they tell Cutler to cut it, and they move on. So before we go back to the ring, guys, we were kind of talking about this, right? Where we're kind of hoping that Adam Cole is sort of going to assert his dominance, and we're planting the seeds here. I'll go to you first, Kate. Kate, what did you think about this video package? Because I loved it.
I think it's great. I think this is a good way to let Kenny Omega exit the picture without putting him through more physically than his body is capable of right now. That's been made very clear over the past 24 hours. So I think this is great if this is the direction they choose to go. Like, it definitely feels like Kyle O'Reilly's coming over at the end of the month. So I think there's a lot of interesting ways that this can unfold, especially with what we saw a little bit later in the show with them alluding to the Undisputed Era again. You know, maybe there's so many. This is the beauty of this company acknowledging wrestling before the existence of AEW and in other places. Like, Cole has been so seamlessly integrated into everything that it could go the way it looks with the handwriting on the wall. Like, they could just straight up play into that, or things could get real screwy with the Red Dragon reuniting. So I just like that they give things time to unfold. Like, they're good at slow burns, and I'm glad that they're able to put a punctuation mark on this story soon without Kenny having to do a ton more in the ring, because he's just not capable.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about Kenny later, but he's going to exit the picture for a while. Schlong, I know you're playing around with your bandana over there. What'd you think about this opening video package from the Elite?
I felt like someone had to do something when Kate doesn't have Cruz director mic up going across the screen, so I had my bandana. This is perfect. Just the subtle Adam Cole responding before anything could happen. Kenny's kind of like, what the hell reaction, but didn't go too far. It's the subtlety that matters. And then, of course, every time Bobby Fish talks, I think Bobby Fish is British. I know that might be later, actually. Is that later when that happens?
Yes.
I mean, they tie together. Either way, Bobby Fish should be British. I don't like that he's not. It annoys me. It's his look. He looks like a British guy.
He does. I'm not disagreeing.
Matt shook his head like I was crazy. I'm not crazy. But I loved it. This is perfect. This is what we want. Let Hangman go away, heal up. Not Hangman. Omega go away, heal up. Let Cole do the whole super quick thing. It's perfect.
So Schlong's tipped his hand. He hates Hangman. He wants him to go away. Matt, you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
I was. Since AEW does such a great job of revealing the history, just remember, Kenny Omega was the one who kicked Adam Cole out of the Bullet Club from Marty Scurll.
That is true. I was there the night that happened.
I don't remember.
I have a question, Matt.
Yes, Kate, the great.
Who was in Mount Rushmore?
Kevin Steen, the Young Bucks, and Adam Cole. Baby.
Oh, wow. So this could get very, very, very interesting. Then. Come Absolutely. January. Certainly could.
The Young Bucks are very popular in multiple stables.
They're stablers.
It's stable and timing's just funny. Like Kyle O'Reilly is done in December and Kevin Owens is up in January. Like it's just the timing of things that could work out for them if they become the desired location for all these guys. Like there's just three stables that share three of the same dudes. Like that's or one of the same dude and then two that share the same guy. So that could just get very, 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 very interesting. Rob Humphrey saying Mount Rushmore is George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. That's a very good point.
He ain't
George
wrong.
Washington, I just like, I don't know, man. I feel like his best days were like earlier. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he still has it. I don't know if I want them reuniting there. But, you know, Theodore Roosevelt is just an absolute workhorse. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
You think Washington's best days were before the wooden teeth?
I do. It's just like you take tough brass knuckle spots and you have to have the wooden teeth in.
That's a bold history take, Kate. That's a bold history take, considering he didn't do too well as a young commander. So I'm really loving this.
Guys, they're with me, all right? We're just having fun over here. I wasn't trying to accurately reflect history. I was playing into Rob Humphrey's chat.
Well, moving on. We go back to the Ring in the Dark Order. Present John Silver proclaims it National Cowboy Shit Day and introduces your new champion, Hangman Adam Page. Hangman comes out with his jacket zipped up, opens it up to reveal the title, strolling all the way to the ring. And he gets on the mic and says he'd love to celebrate National Cowboy Shit Day, and he knows this championship means a lot and carries a lot of responsibility. He knows that he's got the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, next. Enter Bryan Danielson. Danielson grabs the mic and slides into the ring to address Hangman and says that he came out to say one thing, and that's congratulations. He offers Page a handshake, which is accepted. Danielson's not going to lie. He's super excited for this match for the AEW World Championship. But to be fair, he's a little surprised and disappointed that it's not Kenny Omega standing across the ring from him. And Page says he beat Omega's ass at Full Gear. And if he's not mistaken, he did it in less than 30 minutes.
Oh,
that's right. Snap. Danielson replies and says he didn't want to come out here and start anything, but he's not going to be wrestling a guy dressed like a Ghostbuster. He's there to kick some ass. And if you want to see cowboy shit, apparently that doesn't mean wrestling because Danielson's out there to wrestle every week, and Page is out here flapping his gums. And when Danielson won the WWE Championship at WrestleMania, he wrestled the very next day, which does get boos from the crowd, and says, of course that Virginia boos hard work. So we're starting to see something. We're starting to see something here out of Danielson. Page goes on to say if he wants to wrestle for the title, he doesn't see any reason to wait, and the crowd is definitely in for that happening. But the Dragon says normally he'd be up for it, but he's out there ready to wrestle in his gear. Page is in his street clothes and some terrible leather jacket. And everybody told him Hangman Page has a long list of excuses to explain why he's failed in the past. He doesn't want to beat him for the world title and have there be an excuse that Page wasn't ready. Page says he knows Virginia's for lovers, but he'll still be happy to fight. And the Dark Order end up having to pull them apart, as they start to kind of scuffle and get into it. Brian goes on to tell him that his friends let his little friend stop him because he knows he doesn't really want to fight right now. Everybody knows he'd kick his ass anyway. Paige tries to rush him again. Danielson is able to get out of the ring. And we go to a break. And then we go into our first match of the night. So I want to pause there just to get some initial thoughts on this from Kate and Ryan. Matt, I know you were not in on this 100%. So when you want to...
Ding!
So when you want to jump in, Matt, just jump in. But Kate and...
Go ahead. Completely transparent, I did not see a second of Dynamite, so
all right.
I probably will just have a little this and that, but don't feel like you need to go to me unless I put my dumb face up to this microphone. Otherwise,
okay, sounds good.
With the soundboard.
Sounds good. So Kate and Ryan, I want your thoughts on this, but nothing past this point, right? Because we get a little bit more in the match. So your initial thoughts on this first interaction between Danielson and Hangman Adam Page. What'd you think?
So I think there were a few things in this that were clumsy on Danielson's part, and I just didn't even really care. I gave so much rope for this because he was like, you're not ready to fight. And then he basically said he was. And then he was like, oh, your friends are stopping you. It was like, no, he is here to fight. And I know that's more heelish. I don't think we're getting a Bryan Danielson heel turn. I think what they did was a very good job of leaning into pieces of this story that will let you buy two of the purest baby faces needing to have this match. Like, I think that's why we didn't open with action immediately, was because this huge thing happened. Both of these guys also really did just get their asses kicked a few days ago, so giving them a night off, not the worst idea that we see Danielson shortly after. I liked where this is going. I think it's good to dirty up Danielson a little bit because I think you want Paige to remain as pure as he can. I didn't care about the logical inconsistencies of what Danielson was saying. I love that he mentioned WrestleMania because he knew it was going to get booed. And that's a way to get boos without like sacrificing yourself in the process. I just thought that was a very, very clever move on his part. There's been so much talk about how fun it is to have CM Punk back in a way that it seems like he's really enjoying professional wrestling. Bryan Danielson's right there at the same level. He just always seems to have, whether he's actually smiling or not, the biggest smile on his face. Like, I think he really loves, and he should, the trajectory he's been on since he debuted. So I think, I don't know if this is where they revealed it or if you mentioned it and I missed it, but he basically said he's going to run through.
Not yet.
Okay. So I'll wait
on
that.
We'll get there. But yeah, we'll get there.
I just liked that I think they knew that this was a somewhat predictable outcome and that they needed to go out of their way to do a little bit of storytelling so that people can buy into the fact that these guys actually are going to want to fight each other because they're both so over and such pure little baby faces. I think this was a good way to get people to start to buy that story.
Shlong, what do you think?
I really like this. I think Danielson as kind of a dick makes sense because his "I'm going to kick your fucking head in," you kind of would be a bit of a dick doing that. So that makes a whole lot of sense to have him be that way.
Suddenly your sound quality improved dramatically.
I realized that was going to be a problem, so I did the pull down.
To anybody not watching this on YouTube, listening in audio form, Shlong had his bandana pulled up over his face, and you could tell he was quite uncomfortable.
I'm thinking of our listeners. Okay. And myself. But I don't think this is obviously the case. I don't think this is a full heel turn for Danielson, but I definitely think it's a nice layer to his character of, like, he's not pure babyface either. He is kind of just a dick that's there to kick some ass, and he's not going to do dirty things, but he's also not going to be like, give me your best and we're best buddies, which I really appreciate. Though it was kind of heelish to be like, hey, you're not ready to fight. Okay, I'll fight. I can't fight you. That's such a heel move. Also, the Virginia is for Lover shirt with the graphic saying cheap pop is just
beautiful.
Perfect.
So I'm going to agree with you guys on up to this point. It was, hey, Danielson's doing some heelish stuff. but I think it's really to put Hangman over as the true face kind of here, right? You're going to want to stay behind Hangman Adam Page. But as we get into this first match, my thoughts start to shift drastically. So we get Hangman Adam Page versus Evil Uno. And as we're getting into this. What's that?
I mean, two Dark Order members fighting. That's pretty impressive.
I'm sorry. Did I say Hangman Adam Page? I thought I said Danielson. My apologies. I got Page on the brain, I guess. But
don't we all?
Danielson versus Evil Uno. And as we get started here, we won't go through the whole thing, but Danielson's clearly acting the heel here, right? He's unwilling to kind of be goaded into some of the tactics Evil Uno's trying to get him to do, the chest slaps. He's kind of shoving his face away. He's holding submission holds right up to the five and telling Aubrey, getting in her face and saying, I've got until five. He's laying in kicks in the corner right up until the five count. Very heelish. Cutting to the end of this match, Danielson does win by referee stoppage with the triangle choke. And post-match, he has to be peeled off of Evil Uno to break that hold. He's actually got the triangle choke held while Evil Uno is knocked out, and he's flexing on the ring, holding the triangle choke. So he holds it, and Aubrey is finally able to get him to release. And Shivani comes to interview Danielson in the ring and says that he came to congratulate Hangman, and because of his behavior, he ended up kicking Evil Uno's head in. So until he fights Adam Page for the title, he's going to take every member of the Dark Order and kick their heads in. That means next week they're going to be in Chicago, so he's going to want Colt Cabana. And if he's got any nuts, he'll kick his head in Chicago next week. So Ryan and Kate, at this point, are your thoughts changing? Because for me, it was that opening segment. Okay, he's kind of, I think, goading in, Hangman a little bit. But now by the end of this match and the post-match, it's like, holy fuck, this is a full-blown heel Danielson. And this character is kind of perfect for it. It's not the same heel Danielson we were getting in the E, right? This is different. He's definitely more serious, more violent. And this is also kind of where we're kind of getting what we were hoping to get from Kenny, right? Like we had kind of said, I hope Kenny runs through the entire Dark Order. And now Danielson's vowing to basically run through the entire Dark Order. Shlong, let's go to you first. What did you think? What are your thoughts now after this first match?
I'm glad we went to me first because I'm clearly the biggest Colt Cabana fan here. So like these things are important. Talk to me first. Match was really good. I've said it many, many times. I'll keep saying it. The entire Dark Order is underrated. Every one of them is a good wrestler and can do really good matches. I know on the Monday night show, they weren't thrilled with this match. I don't know why. I think Evil Uno is awesome. So, Matt, you'll have to explain your co-host feelings.
I can't speak for them. My apologies. They're not well-versed in the world of professional wrestling.
Okay. Fair enough, even though they could probably both school me. The only thing I will say about this is everything he did was definitely full-on heel, except with an AEW audience, if he's not going against a pure babyface like the Dark Order and Hangman, he will likely still get cheered, even if he's doing this shit. Like, they will love him for this aggressive side. So it works in this feud perfectly. It also works going forward. I'm not saying you change it, but I don't think you'll see him as a pure heel going forward, because I think a lot of fans will still cheer him because he's Bryan Danielson doing insane things, kicking people's heads in. But it's perfect for this feud because you're going to get we wanted a babyface versus a heel. You're going to get that. And now it gives Hangman a chance to beat the guy that everyone thinks is the best in the world, who tied Kenny in a, and you know, that Matt, you know, went 30 minutes with Kenny. Like, this is what Hangman needs to do and who he needs to beat to solidify his reign. So I'm loving this, but I, you know, I feel bad for Boom Boom, Colt Cabana, Boom Boom. Just because he's going to take a beating and he's going to have to get a divorce from his wrestling wife, Kate. And it's just going to be very sad.
I will stand by my man. Thank you very much.
Which
I
one?
Don't know what it was about this match that made me just ask myself, is Bryan Danielson the best to ever do this? I don't know why it was this one. I see you shaking your head over there.
I have a thought, and I would simply pose it's for the sheer fact that up to this point, he was, you know, it was pretty easy for him to be over as a face, right? Because everybody knew Danielson, and he came in like all business, but he wasn't really doing anything heelish. And within one match, literally one match, you're like, fuck this guy. Like, not like fuck this guy, but you're kind of like, what a piece of shit.
Yeah. And when you think about his run already in AEW, you think about everything he accomplished at Ring of Honor, like, say what you want about what WWE does. The Planets Championship was great. The Yes Movement stuff was super over. So that's another example of him as a super over face and a super over heel. Today he replaced Shawn Michaels. I don't know what it was with this match when I was watching it. I got like genuinely very overwhelmed by the fact that I was like, if he's not the best to ever do this, like, there's no definitive answer, right? But like, I was like, he's on my Mount Rushmore somewhere, probably replacing Shawn. And B, I've never seen someone that's even in that conversation, because a lot of people said yes when I put that on Twitter today. I've never seen someone like that in real time. I didn't watch Brett. You know what I mean? Like, I got very, very overwhelmed by the fact that, like, he's at least in that conversation and I get to watch him in real time. Save, like, you want to throw Okada in there, of course. Like, there's a couple New Japan guys that definitely fit in that conversation too. But I don't know why it was this match, but something happened in this match where I was like, I now can't be like, well, there's recency bias because it's happening in real time. Like, he is, if not the best, one of the best. Like, it is insane the run that he's been on, how many places he's been the top guy at, and how many different styles he's able to successfully cater to. I don't know why it was against Evil Uno that this happened in my brain, but it did. It's probably what Ant is saying. Like, the immediacy with which he was able to turn around and be an asshole, like, definitely stood out. I think he's only going to be a heel for this run through the Dark Order and through Hangman. So I think this is going to be a tweener heel leaning thing. But one thing that AEW is great at is, and I'll go to Eddie because he's just the fucking best in my eyes, but like, they just make adjustments with the same character and they book you differently, heel or face wise. Like, that's what's so beautiful here is this. It's just a perspective change. It's not like you were this guy and now you were this guy. So it just makes that whole transition feel so much easier because you're not just wiping the slate clean about everything you've known about this guy. So that's just something I feel like AEW does extremely well in general. I think they did great with Eddie. They did great with Mox. They did really well with Kenny. That was like so organically done. So I just appreciate that too. It's like, you're just going to tweak some things and we're going to book you differently. And that's it. The rest of you still gets to go out there and be yourself. So I don't know. I have no idea why it hit me so hard in this match, but he's definitely in that conversation. It is wild.
I have thoughts.
Go ahead.
I was actually just shaking my head one just to bust her chops a little bit because I can't argue that. I mean, there is no greatest of all time simply because a lot of it comes down to taste, but you can't deny out of this generation, he might not be the best. And part of that is I can't speak to New Japan guys because I don't watch it,
but he has done it in so many, like, cases, so many different styles. He went to WWE and did it there. He's been in ROH. He's now in AEW. Every style is a little bit different. But I actually wanted to more. So I'm going to, you know, I won't argue because, you know, you're right. And it comes down to taste. I like Shawn Michaels and I like Bret Hart. You go either way, but you can't argue that Daniel Bryan, at least right now, isn't at the top of his of the wrestling ladder. Reason I had a comment was your point on they just alter a little, really just alter the booking of a character and then let the, and that to me is my favorite thing about when a wrestling company's getting it right is when the booker, you know, because there's only one guy here, and the wrestler fully understand their character and their motivations, because then everything makes sense.
Yeah.
If you know why a guy is motivated. So in Daniel Bryan's case, he's motivated by being the best in the world. Ooh. And beating people up. Bridie. So Bridie is motivated by being the best in the world and kicking people's heads in. If you know that, you can make every decision make sense. It's when you try to, like, when you don't understand a character and suddenly, you know, his motivations are like being a billionaire. Like, that's so counter to what he is that none of the decisions will make sense. So that's what I'm in agreement. They've done it with Eddie. They're doing it with Bridie. They did it with Omega. There's other guys. They did Mox. They were starting to do it with Mox before he had to go away. Like, there's so many good. So I just wanted to comment. Like, I agree on that. But that's probably because they let the wrestlers have input. When the character isn't created by me in a back room, but rather the guy who has to perform it, I feel like the character's so much better understood that the little mannerisms in the ring and the what he says just make so much more sense.
And commentary did a good job too during this match of saying, kind of to your point too, about like not changing kind of like drastically why these, you know, why these wrestlers are doing what they do. They made it a point to mention, like, Danielson's not here for money. He's here to prove he's the best. So it wasn't like a complete character change. Like, no, I'm here to get paid. It was, you know, he just wants to prove he's the best. And that's why he does this. So to your point, it's just been organic in this story. And they were able to flip your mind on Danielson in 20 minutes of this show. 20 minutes. And he's been there for 2 months, right? Something like that.
So hey, Matt. Sorry, you keep going. I thought you were done.
No, I was going to say, it's just crazy to see how quickly they've been able to flip it. But go ahead. What do you want to know from
Matt? Sorry, there was like a delay and a hinge, so I thought you had stopped for a couple seconds. Matt, since Kate brought something up that you didn't actually have to see Dynamite for, where do you view Bridie on the, like, top wrestlers situation?
Oh, he's definitely one of the top wrestlers of all time, and I think that's why people are so vocal with him, because he has been this way his whole career. If you go back to his Ring of Honor stuff, you know, his stuff with Homicide, his stuff with McGinnis, he can dial it up, you know, and he's only gotten better over time. So it's no surprise that at this stage in his career, you watch him on TV and you could easily say he's one of, if not the best wrestler in the world right now. It's an easy argument to make.
Well,
oh man, I put them
better. Either way, it's going to be fun to see this play out. And next week, we're going to get Danielson versus Colt Cabana. So again, Kate's heart will be torn in two. We do get a quick MJF promo that was, they tell us, was shot right after his match on Sunday. He says, you know, all you hear is how great all these guys on the roster are at wrestling. And everybody says he's only good on the stick, but screw that and screw you, because while you viscerally hate his guts, you have no choice but to admit just how damn good he really is. He beat Darby Allin with a headlock takeover, and right about now he's really excited to go to Norfolk, Virginia, and he starts making that, you know, belt gesture and says he doesn't know what's next for him, and we go to a break. I want to just get into the next segment too, because it's another kind of video promo. Then we'll get everybody's take on this. But we get a recap of CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston, and then Shivani interviews Eddie backstage. But before he can talk, Daniel Garcia and 2.0 roll up. And they start to kind of talk down on Eddie for always having a sad story and not lasting as long against Punk as Garcia did. And then Kingston tells them to shut up. And number one, Garcia lets two grown men call him their son. He should be a real man and stand on his own. But he knows him from Buffalo. He knows what they have to do, and he's going to fight him. And then Eddie says, just once, I'd like to cut a promo without being interrupted, which I found funny because he interrupted Punk, and then says, I'm going to catering. And that's the end of that. Kate, anything you'd like to say about MJF and the Eddie Kingston and Daniel Garcia stuff? The floor is yours.
The MJF stuff, I'll just say that I really liked him playing into the unfounded criticism that he's only like medium good in the ring and just a talker. I love that he acknowledged it, because I feel like after he and Darby had their match, a lot of the buzz around that was, man, sometimes we forget that MJF is great at this in the ring. So I just like that he incorporated that into this. And then, yeah, I'm the biggest Eddie Kingston mark. Like, I really liked the segment, and it's just amazing how when he looked Daniel Garcia in the eye, especially because Ever Rise is so goofy, and he said, you let two grown men call you son? Like, what? Like, immediately you're just like, man, if somebody said that to me, I'd be pissed off and I'd want to punch him in the face. Like, I loved that. And he's just so good at making things feel personal so fast. So loved that. And then the complete hypocrisy, which is just one of my favorite heel things in the world. And I don't know if Eddie's a heel or not. I assume so. But him just saying that just once, I would like not to get interrupted. I'm going to catering. That popped me huge.
Shlong, what did you think about these?
Great promo by MJF. I think one of his best, actually, because it was totally serious, low toned, but just really nailed everything he had to say. I think the important stuff with him obviously happens later. The Eddie Kingston, Daniel Garcia thing, I think Eddie's in the wrong. Listen, if 2.0 was to call me their son, I'd be quite proud. I think everyone should be quite proud of that. And Eddie Kingston's wrong. My second question, I have a question though. Is there something about Buffalo that I don't know? Like, why is being from Buffalo like this thing?
It's like this hotbed of independent wrestling that a lot of people don't know about. Kind of like Portland, Oregon back in the 80s.
Okay.
Butcher and the Blade are from there. Garcia, Blackwood. There's a ton of talent that comes from the Buffalo area.
And they are, okay, like Daniel Garcia and Butcher and Blade, and I think Blackwood too, were like the Buffalo boys, right? They had a stable. Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't know, and that was why I was curious. Now, Rob Humphrey puts out there that he didn't like it. There's still meat on the bone with Kingston and Punk, and Eddie needs a big win, not a program with these three jokers. Now, there is still meat on the bone with Eddie and Punk, but I think they'll spread that out, that they're spreading that meal out. They don't want to do it all at one time, which I love, because I think
you burn through a lot of spoons in the porridge there.
Yes. I think you can ruin a story by doing too much too soon. I do not consider these three to be jokers. Yes, they make jokes, but like 2.0 wrestle has been taking some losses, but they're still very good wrestlers. Daniel Garcia is unbelievable. And excellent. Kingston will win. And that is a big win, because Daniel Garcia is, I know he, it's weird, but he's considered at that level now where like beating him is a big deal, because he's that good. So I'm really excited for this match. Jesus.
Yeah. I,
sorry. Go ahead, Ant.
No, I was going to say, Daniel Garcia, I think, cause we haven't seen him on TV in a while, maybe people forget how good he is, even though he hasn't really gotten a ton of wins. I don't even know if he's gotten a win in singles competition yet in AEW, but he's just such a phenomenal wrestler. I mean, we saw him in Philly at New Japan, and he looked just awesome. It was a tag match, but he looked great. He's going to be a star for AEW. I think he was under the radar signing, sneaky good signing for them, which is going to pan out for them in the future. But I'm sorry, go ahead, Kate.
Well, he's like 12 years old, so I think that's yeah. Like, he is super young. Just
same age as Alan Angels.
There you go. To Rob's comment, there's still Beat on the Bone with Kingston and Punk. I heard this for fantasy booking and I could not be any more behind it. You have a couple more weeks play out, a couple more months play out. Punk is still a face. Maybe this program with MJF is like 2.5 months long. When you're ready to have Adam Cole drop the title, you have a face Punk and a face, or I'm sorry, Adam Page. You have a face Punk and a face Page go head to head. And then in the middle of the match, Punk low blows him, delivers the go to sleep, wins the title. And Eddie Kingston comes out and says, I told all you motherfuckers that this guy was a two-faced lying son of a bitch. And Eddie has to be the guy to either dethrone him or whatever. I love the idea of that because Punk gets his ass booed because it happens in a match against Paige. That was just a fun idea, but I think whether it's that booking or not, the meat on the bone with Kingston and Punk is when one of them has some sort of title, I think. Like, or it definitely, at the very least, happens with a heel Punk so that Eddie can come back and take that victory lap of, I told all you guys, that has to be the resolution of the story, and we've got weeks, if not months, to go on that. So, but I just thought that was some really, really fun booking.
And real quick, Moxie S said in the comments, 2.0 has that quality where win or lose, their presence is felt and gets the heat needed for face builds. I do agree with that. They're a step above, at least right now, and I actually think they have pretty good potential down the road, but right now I think they're a step above Chaos Project of those teams that are going to take losses but are viewed as quality, and you need that to build up your faces. You need someone who your faces beat who aren't just two indie guys who are like considered high level, but also aren't two heel teams that you're also trying to push. You need that intermediary team to take the loss, and a team like 2.0 is right now perfect for it, though I do think they have potential to be more than that.
Matt, I know you had to love that Kate fan fiction, right? Punk winning the title and then Eddie taking the title off her.
We could not have picked two guys who don't need a title.
They will never put that title on Eddie. I just don't think.
Eddie Kingston, I said it Monday night, he's the Rocky Balboa of AEW. He is, minus the being the winner, he's going to go out there. He's going to give it his all. He's going to put his heart, his soul, everything on the line. And if he loses, the fans are still going to be behind him. And I think that's a quality that is not, it's not a gimmick you're given. That's not something you're taught. That's just Eddie Kingston. He connects with the crowd, and it's invaluable for AEW. And it's working. Everything Eddie Kingston does works. Him and Daniel Garcia is going to be excellent. You know, yeah, there's meat on the bone with Punk, but you can wait. You know, if the way AEW tells their stories, this is, let's let this cool off. Let them go their separate ways. I'm sure there'll be, you know, more down the line, but there's zero rush for this. I think this is fantastic. I haven't seen this yet. I love 2.0 as our tag team. They're a serviceable tag team. They're dirty, nasty heels. And they're there for a service. It's there for a purpose. Excuse me. They work well in the ring. They came from NXT. They've been wrestling for a long time. They're tag team specialists. And they'll put in these positions to make good guys look good. You know, they're there to take the pins and make these guys look good. Excuse me. You talk about the pillars. We have our four pillars. Daniel Garcia is like, you know, when those pillars grow up to be, you know, giant pillars, stone statues, I don't know, whatever they are.
What does a pillar grow up to be? Walls. When those pillars grow up to be walls, then they will.
Eventually, pillars crumble, and you need to replace them.
No.
Daniel Garcia will be... These pillars grow up to be pallers.
Pallers.
They're walls, Matt. Pillars grow into walls.
Daniel Garcia's just... He's that next level.
Yeah.
That's why we need a bangers division so he can compete in there.
Oh, that's the dumbest name. First of all, Brazzers has to sponsor the bangers.
You're the one who named it that, first of all.
Or Pornhub.
I don't fucking remember anything I do, bro.
I said they'd have banger matches, and you're like, oh, so the bangers title. So that's where I'm going with it.
But I'd also like to call out, nobody made mention of the just crazy Philly accent that came out with Meat on the Bone.
Did I say
no? Who do you think said, there's a lot of meat on the bone? The bone.
Is it that Southern Belle Ryan Schlong up there?
My God.
I'll be wearing a cowboy hat. Yeehaw, we're going to do
Eddie Kingston will be your champion. He will be a transitional champion, but he's going to be your champion someday.
He should be a TNT champion.
He was the Shikara Grand Champion. Just enjoy that for what it is.
Look where that got him.
Look at Kate's fucking...
It's AEW.
So, after these segments, we get our next match of the night. Butcher and the Blade. versus...
Hold on. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
Asian Joe says, caterpillars grow into butterflies, so pillars could grow into flies. How do you like them apples?
They grow into walls.
Yes.
Okay. Butcher and the Blade.
By the way, rules. Okay, he's like sending us t-shirts. He's fucking hilarious in the chat. Thank you, Asian Joe.
Who else? He's all right. Listen, they're not all winners. He's all right.
What kind of t-shirt did you get, Kate?
It's a Gabagool shirt.
Oh, God. Couldn't think of a better way to spend his money.
It's her Tuesday night gimmick.
Jesus Christ.
He joined your Patreon. Fucking relax.
He did for a dollar.
He's really wasting his money.
There you go.
You've been a fucking Patreon supporter longer than him. Schlong, shut your mouth.
Cool. He didn't say he's not wasting his money. He had to buy his way onto this show.
That's true. Eventually, he'll buy his way off.
He'll pay us to leave. The Patreon is named Ryan Schlong because he was Ryan S. on the Patreon. Also, that's his birth name.
So, next match of the night, Butcher and the Blade versus Chaos Matt. Chaos. Orange Cassidy and
I believe this fucking hand job
Tomohiro Ishii.
You could just call him Big Tom.
Well, he's Tomohiro Ishii.
Big Tom Ishii.
I think it was the doctor said it Sunday night when they announced that he was going to be coming in. And he said it in the Discord. I think he said he looks like the big toe come to life. He does look like a big toe. He does.
Don't you dare! Don't disrespect the Stone Pitbull.
Listen, I'm just saying that's what he looks like. But
what is wrong, Rob Humphrey? What is wrong with you?
Hold on, a question, real quick, Matt. You'd appreciate this. My Western accent is a cross between Southern Belle and Mr. Hanky. That's pretty accurate, Asian Joe.
Rob Humphrey's question or his statement was: I don't know anything about New Japan. Is their roster nothing but senior citizens? Matt, care to comment?
Their roster is men, grizzled fucking men.
That who should make shave. Live
beating the dog shit out of each other, okay?
Rob, it's nothing to watch. Their last never open weight champion sucked. He should shave his beard.
Oh, it's worth watching if you can hear Matt.
And you definitely will. You have to be able to hear Matt. Please check out that New Japan show when it airs.
How old is Ishii, to be honest?
He's an older fella. He's like in his, I want to say his late 30s, early 40s.
Like,
let's look up.
Because he looks like a guy who, if you told me he was 30 or you told me he was 55, I'd be like, yep.
Big Tom is 45.
Okay. Bobby, so he's Fish's age. But he's like a legend there. So him coming over, again, that's like Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson, I should say, going over to New Japan. You know, you're sending your legend.
He's here and they're taking advantage of these guys being in the States. And I think it leads to Okada being on Dynamite at some point.
And they've strengthened Chaos with better members.
No. Chaos doesn't need any members. They're fine. They have plenty of members.
Now they got the best.
But now this gives them the latitude to go and work New Japan. Strong. Right? So, like, hypothetically, Matt, like, they're part of Chaos. They could go work New Japan Strong.
Matt's watching New Japan Strong, so happy, and then all of a sudden you just see Orange Cassidy come moseying on out.
I'll tell you, the only member of the AEW family that's going to be on New Japan Strong is Christopher Daniels.
Yes.
And, well, I don't want to spoil anything for Matt, but I think a tag team with Marco Stunt and Okada is just like a really interesting direction to go, you know?
Oh my God. Matt's head's going to explode.
So Matt, real quick, Ishii.
Oh, please.
Has he had And this is a real question. This is a legitimate question. Has he had like serious neck injuries in his past?
No, the dude doesn't have a neck, so he can't.
He
kind
of stands with his head like out, and I just couldn't. It looked like a guy who had been through like a bunch of neck surgeries.
No, he's just a dude who's been through a bunch of wars with fucking other grown men who like to beat the shit out of each other.
Just a curiosity, I had watched him.
And neck bumps are just getting dropped on your head, so it's probably.
Did you, Matt? You
were just
see this,
doing
right?
A German suplex.
No, the whole thing where I said I didn't see any of Dynamite.
I wasn't listening to you. I tried.
Obviously, yeah. You're too busy playing fucking cowboy over there.
He's cowboy sliding up in DMs on the Twitter machine. He's doing it all.
Oh, I know. I get notifications. Don't worry.
So do I. It's so much fun to see one side and then go read Schlong's.
I don't slide up in anyone's DMs.
Schlong's replies are so. I just love seeing one side and being like, I can't wait to read what Schlong said.
Long is very respectful in that field.
I don't know. I mean, I can't believe Danny Jordan hasn't blocked you by now, but.
Well, that's because I do that for my personal account. And then my other 10 that are just a name and a bunch of numbers.
First name, Matt. Bunch of numbers. Add it again.
Matt, that's a great part of your day, right? When you see those messages come up and you're like, oh, man.
I also love, Kate, by the way, the funny part about this is they say this like it happens daily.
It happens more often than it.
It happens enough.
It really doesn't. That's the funny thing.
I will say this to the people who think we're fucking around and like Schlong's not respectful. Schlong is very respectful, but it's just so funny sometimes to see. We only see the question, the responses come back. So then I know Matt does the same thing I do, and I'm like, what the fuck? And you go read the chain.
I'd like anyone to point out, if you see me on Twitter, what do you think's coming through a DM? Something weird, because I'm a weirdo.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of toe pictures.
I get all the notifications because I run the Wizards too.
Ishii is in my pictures?
When I start seeing the messages, then I'm like, what is going on here? I'm like, I'm going to let this simmer for a second. I want to see how this plays out.
Matt and I are on the same page. That's why we're hermanos, as he says.
And look, he is, again, he's the most fucking positive person in the world.
It was over a week ago, but
too positive.
The last time one went through.
Well,
except being invited onto a podcast.
It's Ryan. It's okay.
Yeah, Ryan, listen.
You're doing a fantastic job.
I'm very concerned that you guys are seeing my dick pics, and I want to make sure that no one is.
That's nothing to write home about.
2021. I don't think anyone's still sending dick pics, are they?
Oh, I guarantee someone is.
Yeah, they are.
I'll say this, Schlong. I have questions about some of those pics they definitely don't look to match your tone. They look a little more tan than you. So
the curve is weird too. Like, kind of like makes a U.
You got the pay rennies.
All right, so this fucking asshole's in chaos.
Chaos wins by pinfall, by the way. Vertical drop, brainbuster from Big Tom, the Stone Pitbull, on the blade.
This was a great match.
Can I ask a question?
It was a lot of fun.
Go ahead, Matt. Get your question.
Did he have his never open weight championship with him?
And they talked about it.
Yes.
That's how they introduced him.
How dare they?
Rocky was there, too.
Rocky's the best.
Rocky stopped the brass knuckles from being used. He's finally someone who realized that should be done.
Thank you. That was going to be my big point on this match. Rocky Romero, the only person to realize that every member of the Hardy family office uses brass knuckles and saw it coming. Thank you, Rocky.
Also,
he has like 75 jobs in wrestling, and he's great at all of them. I am
also the Butcher.
Rocky Mark.
Butcher is still on tour, but came back just for this match.
That's right.
That guy's awesome.
He looked good too. He looked like he cut more weight.
Was this where they announced Marco Stunt versus Okada, or was that later?
No, later. That was at the very end of the show. I also want to say this about Rocky Romero. I think I had something on, and Rocky was coming out. Maybe I don't remember if he wrestled on Dark or if it was one of the Dynamites. I think he wrestled on Dynamite last week against Brian Danielson, and Baby A was in the living room with me I don't know why he was still awake, but he was there as the show was coming on. And he saw him. And he goes, he's watching. And he's like, can I watch this? And I'm like, you can watch a little bit. And then we're going to bed. And so he's just watching the whole thing unfold. And, you know, Rocky comes out. He's got his eye patch in his jacket. And he starts to get ready to go. And Baby A goes, Dad, why doesn't that pirate wrestle with his eye patch? I was like, he's not a pirate, dude. And you can't wrestle with an eye patch. He was like, he's got an eye under there? I was like, yes, he has an eye under there.
He does. Oh, PBA.
So, you gotta introduce him to the real pirate.
Which pirate is that?
Paul Burchill? He's
fucking PCO, bro.
Okay, well, you could have been talking about the female pirate that was in the Fed that you love so much. I don't remember her name.
There's only one professional wrestler with a glass eye, and that's PCO.
Okay, well, that's why I asked.
I bet you there's more than one professional wrestler with a glass eye. Just he's the most famous.
Right, the guy down at the fucking VFW hall wrestling in front of 12 people with his fucking glass eye is not, he don't count. Sorry.
No, does not count. So Chaos wins by pinfall. You know, I don't know. Kate, you said a couple things. Anybody else want to expand on this?
No. Can we just move on?
We are. So after this, we do get Shivani interviewing Andrade and FTR. Andrade grabs Jose by the jacket and calls Cody Rhodes and pack out, saying he's a better wrestler than either of them and he's beaten them clean. Cash says that they were robbed because he wasn't even the legal man who got pinned. And if Cody Rhodes and Pac and the Lucha Brothers want to get in their business, they'll bring Malakai Black in and make it an 8-man match. And then Tully chimes in and tells Arn Anderson, he's not like Jose. He's got one more left in him. Holy fuck.
No, he doesn't.
We go to break. So I'll just say this. I don't care about the rest of it. When Tully said, I got one more left in me, I laughed and said, who wants to see one more? My God. Ryan, anything you want to talk about here?
I had the same reaction. I'm like, no, no, you really don't. You're done. No. Just let be. But that's it. I mean, I'm excited. I like this feud. Not that I like this feud. I like what they're doing with Andrade and with the FTR, so I'm willing to let the rest play out.
Malakai Black is cool. Kate?
Yeah, Malakai Black's just like the coolest motherfucker ever. Yeah, that dude rules. I love FTR, and I'm glad that they're doing something with Andrade. Like, they desperately needed that train to leave the station. So, this was exactly fine. Tully, good and well suited for the role that he's in.
Yes. Outside of the ring at this age.
Unless he is also going to get a gun and then him and Arn can have a duel.
Ooh.
Yeah, like 10 paces.
I kind of like the idea of a duel.
Yeah, because it's not going to be like a carjacking situation. We've already done that story. A very duel.
True. Very true. Guns. Hard to do Russian roulette with a Glock. So yes, it would have to be a duel. Back from commercial, we get a hype reel from Tay Conti. She's talking about her loss to Britt Baker and that she's learned from it and will win next time she gets her shot. And then Britt Baker is being interviewed backstage by her best friend, Tony Schiavone. And she says she's getting tired of carrying the women's division on her back, which I chuckled at. And she's going to pass that spotlight to future TBS champion, Jamie Hayter. Schiavone reminds her that Thunder Rosa is Hayter's ex-opponent. Britt says, we don't say that name. And she's going to become irrelevant after Hayter beats her because she's Britt Baker. DMD. So they're lining up a couple things here, right? We've got the TBS. Thunder Rosa still in the back of Britt Baker's mind. The reason I chuckled at her saying that she's getting tired of carrying the women's division on her back is because they don't have a long-term story for her. She doesn't have to carry shit. But they should have her carry something because she can. So I like what they're doing with the TBS Championship. Britt Baker needs something else. I thought this segment was fine, though, if anybody else wants to talk about it.
I mean, there's a long-term story for her. It's just being blue-balled. It's obviously going to be Thunder Rosa, but, like, this Challenger of the Month Club thing isn't working as far as making this title reign, like, feel anything other than wildly predictable. We're at least getting stories. Like, there have been steps in the right direction, but, like, and I like that they don't do return shots and a bunch of rematches, but, like, they could have had a longer program with Ruby Soho. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
they could have done something that at least planted seeds of doubt. Because, like, her and Tay had a good match at Full Gear, but there was never any doubt about the outcome. So do something that at least casts shadows of doubt on how predictable this is.
Agreed. Shlong, do you have anything you want to add?
Well, it looks like, Kate, they're going to end the blue balls and bring this to a climax, because I'm pretty sure they're going to have Britt Baker screw over Thunder Rosa in the TBS tournament so that Thunder Rosa then focuses solely on Britt to end what would then have been a very long-term story that they did always kind of drop hints on. It hasn't been as well told as the Hangman story, but at least it wasn't forgotten. Like, those two definitely always acknowledged each other any way they could. So that would at least give you something well done in the division. It's just the rest that's been quite disappointing.
I just think that when they do eventually kick back up the Thunder Rosa and Britt thing, they have to build it longer. Like, right, it has to be built in the forefront. They can't just all of a sudden be like, it's you and me, and then that's it. You know what I mean? Like, they have to build the story, because I agree, Kate, with you, the fact that it's kind of been brewing in the back, but it's just got to be at the forefront. Like, you have to build it in front of everything else to make it really a viable story.
She'll run through Hayter maybe again, or this will happen in the tournament, right? Britt will cost her, and then it'll probably be Thunder Rosa and Rebel. Like, they'll use her stable to get to her, and they'll have some shenanigans, like, or at least is what they should do. Like, but you're right in that, like, long-term stories going on in the background is great, and they're wonderful at that. But when you pull them to the front, you got to fucking pull them to the front. So, right. I also, there's just,
and for longer than 2 weeks,
Yeah. Like, an actual build would be nice. I don't mean to derail things further than we already always do, but there's just some breaking news in the chat. Rob Humphrey said that Britt Baker is a real life dentist.
No.
Yeah.
It's very true. Rob Humphrey. Did you know? I didn't know. Asian Joe thought that she was a candlestick maker.
True.
So, guys, after this, we go to our TBS Championship Tournament quarterfinal match. Hikaru Shida versus Nyla Rose. And we get through some of this match. Nyla has Vicky with her at ringside. Vicky does get involved a few times. We go back and forth quite a bit, and it seems like, yet again, Nyla Rose is not going to be able to answer the call. But she does get some help from Serena Deeb, who chop blocks Shida. They're telling a long story in this match with a bad leg that Sheeta's got. And eventually, Nyla Rose wins by submission with the standing stretch muffler. Thank God. Nyla Rose finally wins a match that means something against Shida. And Shida actually taps out to help maybe Nyla Rose look a little stronger. So, Kate, what did you think about this match? Any thoughts?
I'm going to mute myself.
Okay, so let's go to Shlong. Still hearing an echo? That's weird.
It's not me this time.
It seemed to happen when Matt sat up for the soundboard.
Yeah, Matt.
What?
It's definitely Matt.
Is there an echo?
Yes.
10 years.
That's right. And professionalism.
I don't fucking know. What do you want from me?
Turn your soundboard off.
No, I need it for the close.
Well, I don't know what we're doing
what
here.
We're doing here.
I'm hearing double.
Echo.
Echo.
Any better?
Hello? Yeah, much better.
Yeah. So, Kate, now that we can get this train back on the tracks, what did you think about this match?
I don't even know if there are train tracks anymore for this to be on, but, you know, I've seen it 900 times. But outside of that, this was actually pretty all right. There were some things I liked. Nyla's diving senton was pretty sick. Didn't think she was capable of that. I liked Vicky Guerrero actually doing things to interfere with the match, so that was neat. I like Sheeta selling the leg. She didn't sell it at all at the pay-per-view, so I don't like the inconsistency there, but Sheeta and Deeb had fantastic matches. Like, their series has been fantastic. So if they want to keep that going, I'm fine with that. I think it's important that Nyla got a big victory here. I would have been much more excited to see Ruby Soho and Sheeta than I would be to see Ruby Soho and Nyla. But, you know, I'll take it because it at least makes sense. And it was a pretty good match considering how many times I've seen these two in matches together before. So I'll take it.
And the fact that they continue a storyline, right? So we continue this Sheeta Serena Deeb story, which is nice. They don't just end a story. They actually keep it going. Shlong, what did you think of the match?
Kind of just going to repeat what Kate said. I mean, it was an enjoyable match that we've seen a bunch. I think Nyla winning here, while important for Nyla, because she never wins in the big matches, is really just to set her up to lose in the next round so that the person she loses to has a believable chance against the monster that is Jade Cargill. I think that's like kind of what they're using this for. Otherwise, the best part of this was just the like you guys just said, the continuation of the Serena Deeb Sheeta story. That's great. Deeb, I'm glad Deeb's healthy and now she's back to being a full-time member of this roster. She makes the division so much better just by being around. So it's not that I actually enjoyed the match a lot, and that I've told you, Kate, that senton is sick. She did it a couple weeks ago, and when she, because of her size and the way she delivers it, it looks awesome. But the match was fine. It just, because we've seen it so much and I don't have an expectation that either one of these two could win the tournament, I didn't care too much. Like, I don't know if, you know, it could be Jade Cargill. It could be Ruby Soho. Hell, it could be Chris Statlander. Any one of those could win because they're believably a big star in this division. While Sheeta was the longest reigning champ, you knew they weren't going to put this belt on her first. And there was never, it's not going to be Nyla. So that's where, like, this match got hurt.
Well, Nyla Rose moves on, and we're going to continue the tournament here. Friday night, we'll talk about the Friday night card coming up. We get a quick promo from Malakai Black talking about Andrade and FTR haunting Cody Rhodes. I think the bottom line here is that Malakai Black is still fucking cool, and that eye is getting worse. So keep an eye on the eye.
He also has a match at WrestleCade with Bud Matthews, which I think is awesome because that's where that story started. So look for it to be even more dead after that match.
What if it cures the eye?
That would be also awesome, but I think that eye is going to be dead until an optometrist on screen fixes it. Like, he's just so committed to that story, and I love it so much.
Daker, optometrist. That's why I didn't do it.
Oh, PT or whatever.
I think all he needs to do is get a couple Visine drops and that'll clear right up. It's just my opinion. Unofficial opinion. MJF comes out to the ring with Sean Spears and Wardlow. Spears tries to get the crowd to shut up, but MJF starts to speak and says that you're looking at the guy that checks all the boxes. He's easily the most complete pro wrestler on the planet. He's the man who'll start a bidding war in the year 2024, the past, the present, and the future of professional wrestling. And moreover, if he wanted to, he could take your hometown horse and send him straight to the glue factory. Nobody in the locker room is on his level. Enter CM Punk. So Kate explodes on her couch, and then he stares down Max for a minute or two before MJF offers his hand and introduces himself. He says, "Hi, I'm Max." Punk smiles, leaves him hanging, turns to leave the ring. And that's all we get out of Punk. And I just want to kind of close loop on these segments before they go back to break. But Tony interviews Darby Allin backstage, and Allin says that MJF didn't break him mentally. They'll wrestle again. He's not taking any time off. He's going to fight the biggest and the baddest. And for some reason, that's when the Gun Club rolls up, and Billy Gunn says he accepts the challenge and tells Darby to say when. His son's Mark Darby Allin. My favorite line of that was Colton going, "I like turtles," and then walking away.
I think you misnamed them, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the Ass Man and the Ass Boys per right. Danhausen.
Okay. Well, whatever. I don't understand why Billy Gunn is inserting himself into this, but whatever.
Who knows why the Ass Man does what he does?
I don't know. He likes to kiss him. He likes to lick him.
Stick him.
Stick him.
Likes to shovel.
Squeeze him.
Stick him.
Who cares? Listen, Billy Gunn has done a lot and is a, you know, a good trainer. He's important for them to have in the back, but I don't need to see him versus Darby Allin. Jumping back for my take on the CM Punk thing, I thought that was perfect. Not saying a word. Dude gets paid either way. We'll see where this goes. But Kate, since you're quite frankly the biggest Billy Gunn mark in this room, I'd like your take on, I guess, both of these segments, but I know you're going to want to go on for an hour about Billy Gunn.
Yeah. Punk and MJF is fine. Billy Gunn. No. I don't know why Tony Khan is reading my list of CM Punk dream matches in AEW, but Eddie Kingston and MJF were at the top of that. I really liked a lot of things about this one. MJF continuing to, I see you, Schlong, relax. I'll put Jericho back up for you.
You holding an award?
I love that. So everybody knows the photo of a young MJF with CM Punk at an autograph signing. Like, the color polo shirt he was wearing in that picture was the color jacket MJF was wearing in this. Like, just so nuanced. I think Punk was wearing a Rancid shirt tonight and was wearing a Misfit shirt that day. I think, like, they are just so detailed with that stuff, and I love it. MJF going on about things, CM Punk not saying a word, and also MJF going to shake his hand and CM Punk not shaking his hand, which is what Eddie just did to him. And I think you're going to get an MJF promo that says, "Never meet your heroes because they do shit like this to you." And he's going to call Punk a hypocrite for the fact that Eddie didn't shake his hand and now he's doing the same thing. I thought this was so well done, and you just don't always have to use your words to tell a story. Punk with just that dumb grin on his face walking away was perfect. But now let's get to the real stuff. The Gun Club. First of all, the Gun Club should be ranked somewhere because I'm pretty sure they're undefeated, aren't they?
As a trio, they are. There's no trios rankings.
All right.
They are, by the way, gun defeated.
I'm sorry. Don't you hate puns?
No, that's what they said on Dark, right, Schlong? They said they're gun defeated.
They came out with a sign that said gun defeated.
Some of us watch Dark, Kate.
If you're pulling that out at 10 of 1 in the morning as a pun hater, I'd be very impressed. This is so fucking stupid. Why? Why? It's not stalker level of paying attention, Rob. It's on Instagram. They posted it. I feel like Darby lost to Punk. Darby loses to MJF. How are we going to build Darby back up with the fucking Gun Club? This is stupid. I hate this. I don't understand. Where's Ricky Starks? Get me a different heel. Like,
he's trying to recruit.
I don't get it. Like, the Gun, I just don't, there's nothing intimidating about the Ass Man and his Ass Boys.
Could you imagine the avant-garde videos, though?
Yes, talking and then getting hit by cars and skateboards.
Maybe he'll put some butt masks on or something like that because he's the Ass Man. I do South want. Park? Yes, yes, that was Ben Affleck's parents were the buttheads. I also, Kate, want to say I think the rancid shirt CM Punk was wearing was with Violent Gentlemen, rancid, kind of like mashup. I just like Violent Gentlemen, so I want to call him out. Schlong, anything you want to say about either one of these segments?
So I'll start with the lesser of the two. Punk not saying anything is perfect. Being super Clearly. Disrespectful and turning his back is awesome. That's such a subtle touch of like not, because MJF, through both promos of the night, clearly made it known he wants nothing more than respect. So for Punk to come out, laugh at him, and then turn his back, like you just within a couple seconds, you know what MJF's going to hate him, especially because that picture does give it. MJF can't deny, at least at some point in his life, Punk was an idol. So like going to burn you up inside. Now Kate, to the ass boys.
Kate, any offense there? Punk was an idol.
Well, MJF's going to deny that he's an idol now.
I have the same picture, but I'm 24 and not like fucking seven. It's
true.
So.
Very true.
My point wasn't that Punk isn't an idol now. He's just not an idol to MJF.
Is that what you meant?
I just want to know if Kate felt hurt.
She probably did. So back to the ass man and his ass boys. So first of all, seriously, the funniest thing that Danhausen does is call them ass boys. And then people Photoshop ass boys onto all their signs and their graphics. But a couple points here. One, the ass boys have actually been very entertaining on Dark when you can hear them talk shit throughout the whole time. Kate, you don't watch Dark. Shut up with the rolling eyes.
I do.
You didn't Sometimes. Know.
I'm not a fucking dark mark like you, but I watch frequently.
Oh, sorry. I'm watching NXT 2.0 because I got a show on Fight Club.
Week. Cut me some slack.
No. So they're very entertaining, especially in the studio setting where you hear them talking shit the entire time. It's much more fitting to their personalities and the level of skill they have. Listen, they're gonna. I don't think Billy Gunn is who I thought they'd be putting in this. I thought you might see a match with Colton or Austin, because they do have to. Just so you know, no, you don't.
Yes, I do. Get out of here.
Tony D'Angelo is amazing. I did D'Angelo not mean to click that, but it's true. Thank you. But I thought it'd be Colton or Austin in this match because you do have to at some point start spreading out what talent you're using on Rampage and stuff, and you don't want it to only be like the same rotation. I didn't think Billy Gunn would be the one that they throw in. However, I'm assuming they're going to do something with it, like some swerve on this. I don't know what it is, but I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure there's spoilers out. I could read them if I want. But the ass boys are very entertaining on Dark. I know Kate hates it because she just does not like ass boys. She likes ass men.
First of all, of course. Second of all, I just feel like Darby needs a big win, and I don't think the Gun Club is like he hasn't had a big win in a while, and he's supposed to be a top star.
Yeah, but do you want on a random Rampage him to beat Ricky Starks?
Yeah, that match would fucking slap, and sometimes
on a random Rampage.
Rampage is not like a throwaway show. Danielson and Punk are on it all the time.
I don't think I'd want that just on a random Dynamite. I think I'd want them to have like a feud.
Okay, so do a feud then.
This is a one-off match after a pay-per-view. It's not like...
Correct, which is stupid, is my point. Why is Ricky Starks not on my screen, but the Gun Club is?
Ricky Starks does show up on your screen. We're getting to it. If we can move on from this.
All right, you were the one that was like, let's dig into the Gun Club for 4 hours.
I didn't. I just asked if Schlong had anything to say, and you two are going back and forth. Like a couple people who love the Gun Club. Back for the commercial, Adam Cole and the Young Bucks are giving a promo backstage. They say that Christian and Jurassic Express are the worst, are responsible for the worst night of their lives, and inform us that the Young Bucks aren't cleared to compete. And on Rampage this week, Adam Cole will team with Bobby Fish against Jurassic Express. And Fish mocks the Express, and the Bucks stop him short of saying undisputed. So Friday night, we're going to get Bobby Fish and Adam Cole versus Luchasaurus and Jungle Man Jack Perry.
Why does this have to continue?
What do you mean?
Like, we just had this, we had a 22-minute match at a pay-per-view for these stables to keep fighting. Come on.
Well, you should just be happy you get to continue to see Adam Cole.
Baby.
That's right.
Come on.
We get Dante Martin and Leo Rush versus the Acclaimed. Dante Martin and Leo Rush win by pinfall with the Dragon's Call from Leo Rush on Anthony Bowens. And post-match, Team Taz comes down. They congratulate Leo and Dante on the win. And Taz offers condolences on the loss of Leo's grandmother before pivoting to say that their offer to Martin was just business, nothing personal. They'll be patient. They waited a long time for Hobbs. And today is the one-year anniversary of joining is his one-year anniversary of joining Team Taz. Hobbs has accomplished a lot. Just look at him. So the deal is, if Dante chooses Team Taz, it'll be the start of a Hall of Fame worthy career. But the choice is Dante's to make. So they're clearly trying to push for this decision. I don't know where they're going with this. I'm assuming we'll get Ricky Starks and Hobbs versus Leo Rush and Dante Martin at some point. But I thought this match was pretty freaking fun. What action. Leo Rush looks great. Dante Martin, I just don't know how he does half of the things he does. And Bowens and Caster are really good in the ring. I thought this was a just perfect kind of chemistry between the two teams. Kate, you want to talk about this?
There's still like a drop kick that Dante Martin hasn't landed because he is in the air. Like, he just gets so much hang time off of these aerial moves. It's ridiculous. This was great. This might have been my favorite match of the night. Like, just a ton of really great spots in here. Bowens continues to be so valuable. Like, he's just so good at anchoring any style that's out there. He's just so wildly versatile. I really love it. Leo Rush looks great. You would never know he was out with an injury. You wouldn't know that he was out last week. But I like everything that happened in this match. It was a great match. And I also like the story that everybody's trying to, like, have Dante Martin be a part of their stable, because why wouldn't you? This guy is like a huge breakout star, right? So I love that continuing, because yeah, of course you want that guy on your team. Look at him. He's ridiculous. And it plays into, I think, the growth that we've seen him sincerely have on AEW just over the time that his brother, who's also incredibly skilled at this, has been out. And I hope that's the story we get, is him saying no to everybody. I already have someone in my corner, and then his brother comes back, is what I'm hoping. But I just like it because it's believable, because you would want that dude on your team. It's great.
Schlong, anything you want to add?
No, Kate kind of nailed it there, especially the last point, that the story of Dante Martin being recruited by everyone makes so much sense because he's been like one of the biggest standouts recently. And the match was amazing. I mean, those guys put on a really fun, super quick match. I don't know how people move at that speed. I'd still be running the first time across the rope. So it's just really good. So if you get a chance, Matt, I would check that out, just because it's, you know, an entertaining match, and Dante Martin can do things that aren't human.
After this, we go, we get a promo from Christian Cage and Jurassic Express. They're basically responding to the Elite. Christian says they're proud of what they did. And, you know, you never bring a fish to a gunfight. Jungle Boy says you can put them through tables, hit them with chairs, but they're better now than they've ever been. They'll see them Friday night. So we do get the confirmation that, or we do get them to confirm again that, we're going to get, Bobby Fish and Adam Cole versus, Luchasaurus and Jungle Man Jack Perry. Friday night, we're also going to get, Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet in a TBS, title quarterfinal match. Sorry, I'm pulling up too. I have my notes in like two different places. We're also going to get Billy Gunn and Darby Allin is going to take place on Friday night at Rampage. Next week's Dynamite, they also noted that we're going to get Bryan Danielson versus Colt Cabana. They said that earlier on. Kate will die. We're going to get Thunder Rosa versus Jamie Hayter in their TBS championship quarterfinal match. And we're getting that 8-man tag team FTR, Andrade and Malakai Black versus Cody Rhodes and Death Triangle. So moving on from this, we go to a Lucha Brothers promo, you know, talking about FTR, tell them to stop crying. They say the Death Triangle and Cody Rhodes will have something special for them because there's the best four-man team in the universe. And then we start to go into the
Damn it, Kate. We're just getting them up.
Everybody has turned into a child. Ryan is over there playing with all of his toys, all of his props, and Matt is just...
Wait a minute.
I didn't watch the show, so I have nothing to talk about.
It just popped me. That's all. Like, you look like a toddler. Just like,
I'm just bored. I'm sorry.
In fairness, I, as she said it, I was trying to put you solo because you just... Sorry, Anne.
So we're getting to the main event. And then Matt won't be so bored.
I didn't watch anything. I
understand.
I tried to tell you I wasn't going to be able to watch Dynamite. And it was like, oh, of course you're not going to be part of the show because you do watch Dynamite. So I showed up and I have nothing to say.
Listen, I don't have a problem. I wasn't trying to call attention to you. I'm trying to get through it.
As you were.
We get to our main event. Before that, we get an inset promo from Jay Lethal. But the main event of the night is Jay Lethal versus Sammy Guevara for the TNT Championship. Getting to the end of this match, Sammy Guevara does win by pinfall with the GTH to retain the TNT Championship. And post-match, the Inner Circle comes to the ring to celebrate with Sammy. Sammy offers his hand to Jay Lethal, and he shakes it. And that's the end of the show. So no antics after the match. I thought it was a pretty good main event. Jay Lethal looked like Jay Lethal. I know Kate. What's that?
Forgot about who came out to celebrate with Sammy.
I said the Inner Circle.
Oh, sorry.
Kate's not paying attention.
She blames me, but she yells at me for playing with my props. Meanwhile,
I know she's so busy with cruise director Mike that she didn't even hear me say that they came out to celebrate.
I think I was waiting for his name specifically.
No. The Inner Circle covers everything. Schlong, main event, what'd you think?
This match was great. I mean, all other issues aside, Jay Lethal can really go in the ring, and this was great. I love that they used Sammy's rib from the pay-per-view being hurt as a selling point because it made the match... It made you almost believe, like, are they going to cost Sammy here? Like, is this how they get it off of him but protects him by having his rib be... As he said during a commercial break that was only heard on Fight TV, I think it's fucking broken. So that was fun to see on Twitter. But they pulled out some awesome moves. Sammy is just amazing. I'm glad they put the title on him and are letting him shine, because that was the one thing the Inner Circle kind of killed about him towards the end. Like, when they had Blood and Guts, he came out as a star, and I felt like it kind of stopped. And they need to be using it as much as possible. So I love this. If this is the role Jay Lethal finds himself in, where he's just given these kind of matches, fine. But this was great. I will say, before I saw Santana coming out with Jericho, and I only saw Jericho walking out, I'm like, are we about to have a turn? Like, I'm so trained to think that when one guy comes out by himself that he's about to do something dirty. And then I saw Santana, I was like, oh, thank God. Not that I want the Inner Circle to stay together necessarily. I just didn't want that story.
Yeah, the Inner Circle jerk stuff, I'm glad it seems to be dissipating. I was going to be real pissed if they dethroned Miro to have Sammy Guevara do essentially nothing but face Bobby Fish and more Inner Circle shenanigans in a story that sucked. So I'm very glad that he retained. Lethal looked great. It was a very good main event to finish the episode. And of course...
Who'd we get at the end, Kate?
Oh, yeah! Chris Jericho! Yeah, no, this was great. Lethal looked like $1 million. Sammy is just fantastic. And I really hope that Santana and Ortiz get in line for a tag title shot, if not a win, and that Sammy gets to have a real reign, because it's been very slow out of the gate after a very successful and, like, hot rain from Miro. So
yeah, I think now hopefully with this kind of inner circle story behind them, hopefully he has a chance to do more of these singles matches. And if it is truly like an open challenge type deal, maybe we get to see some faces jump in and have a match that, you know, maybe we didn't think we'd see in AEW. So that's the end of Dynamite, guys. Just a couple notes here to wrap up the night. We mentioned it before, Kenny Omega, it's been reported in a few places, but on the Wrestling Observer Radio, Meltzer said Kenny Omega will be getting checked out for various injuries. He could be taking some time off to deal with them. And the word was he stuck around this long so he could see through the Hangman Page storyline. The rumors are that Kenny's shoulders are in really, really bad shape. And apparently he's been having some really good matches that we saw down this stretch while experiencing vertigo in the ring. So Kenny seems like he's fucked up and needs some time off. So this is a good time to get him off TV and healthy.
Tell me when he wrestles without a head.
Well, he's going to go off.
I would imagine with vertigo probably feels like that at times. I'm just so curious as to how he was able to do that. Like, if everything starts spinning, do you just do nothing off the ropes? Like, it blows my mind that he was able to deliver the caliber of matches that we've seen on this run while experiencing that for the past 3 years. So heal up. Thank you for everything you've given us this year, Kenny Omega, but for God's sake, go heal your body.
Yeah. And especially cause his moveset is not one where it's just like brawling or, you know, technical wrestling. Like he's flying through the ropes, you know, doing some crazy shit. So, pretty crazy. In other injury news, there were some concerns over Eddie Kingston because he pulled out of a convention appearance after his match at Full Gear. Some people thought that he had some sort of like, you know, serious injuries. But it looks like everything's okay. Eddie has said that the shoulders are fine. You know, he'll be at new wrestling at the whatever event he's got on the 20th, he'll miss no time at work. So maybe a reason we didn't see him do anything tonight besides a promo just to give him a night off and rest up a little bit. But it doesn't look like, Kate, rest easy, doesn't look like there's any major concerns for injury for Eddie Kingston.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, that's super important. And the other thing, guys, there's big Cody news this week. Big Cody news.
For who?
He's leaving Twitter.
He left Twitter. He's not leaving. He left.
Well, yeah. He's focusing on Instagram. It's not as toxic, he says.
He's not wrong.
No, he's definitely not. But he's off Twitter. So what I'm going to, Schlong, it's going to be fun to see if maybe Fuego Dos jumps onto Twitter.
I don't know, because like his reason for leaving is so legitimate for him. It's not a story or playful. Like he was getting a lot of shit, so I don't know if he's going to want to come back as like someone else.
What are you talking about, Schlong? They're two different people.
That's true. But I'm just saying in general, I don't know if someone will want to
Hi, Rhiannon. Your husband's out of his mind. Not that she didn't know that.
She has a firearm. That got me. What's that, Matt?
She has a firearm.
Matt, blink twice. Matt, blink twice if you need help. Okay.
All right, we gotta end the show. So
we gotta go. Matt needs help. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
A bat? No, that's a firearm. Wait, go back to the
Arn Anderson. Never.
That's beautiful, Ree.
Duck hunting gun.
Oh, because I thought you said she won a rifle and something, right?
She did win a, that's the rifle she won.
It's gorgeous.
I'm sorry, that's the shotgun she won.
It's stacked, huh? It's not side by side.
Yeah, it's like this.
Stacked. Yes.
Stacked. Anthony knows.
Yeah, I worked at the range.
Oh, he worked at the range.
She knows.
She knows.
She knows. Anyway, that's all our news and notes for the night.
I'm sorry? Did you talk about how your birthday's coming? I did not talk about how my birthday is coming.
Oh man, we've totally forgot, and she spoiled it. We had a cake and everything, but now we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it now because she spoiled it.
I'm going to be what for wrestling? No, I'm not too old for wrestling.
It's true, Matt. What birthday? What birthday is this on Sunday?
40.
So you are aging out. So Matt will be replaced.
I don't know. If you look at the numbers, he's right in the demo.
I was going to say, he's still in the key demo for, and he's definitely not matured out. We can confirm that from this episode.
Are you guys going to come?
Sunday?
Are you any good?
Oh, yeah.
How quickly?
It's all up to you, tough guy.
Oh, hey. Going to make you work for it.
Ow!
She blasted in the back of the head? I didn't hear the blast.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she hit you with the Nerf gun, huh? Beautiful.
Yeah.
If you're not watching...
No! What's wrong with you?
If you're not watching this show on YouTube, you're missing all of this. Rhiannon walked in with her shotgun, and then she blasted Matt in the back of the head with a Nerf version of it. It's beautiful.
I don't want to turn around because I don't want to get hit in the face.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn around. She is still there. Don't turn around. Don't. If you're not watching on YouTube like the great people who are watching tonight, the Rob Humphreys, the Jay Shells, the Asian Joes, the...
Bergs,
yes.
Doing?
Oh, my God. She's the Moxie S's. Anybody else who's watching.
Attacked by his wife, who is actually carrying a gun, but traded it in for a Nerf gun to attack.
It's less messy that way.
It is, yeah.
But yes, Matt is a happy birthday. Happy early birthday to Matt. He's turning 40 on Sunday. There's a possibility of some of the Mark Order being in the same place on Sunday. So we'll see what happens.
I think we should wrap the show up because Matt is fighting for his life.
She's throwing his pillow pals.
She just threw Matt Taven.
Oh, that's Taven? I couldn't tell. Honestly.
He said that? She just threw Matt Taven.
Why is the Matt head Taven. So fucked up?
What do you mean, why is the head so fucked up? They're pillow buddies.
I don't know. His head.
Pillow buddies. I love my pillow buddies.
Yeah, give him the big God. Screen. He is I and I am him. I'm Matt Taver.
It doesn't not look like you. You could tell me that was a Matt Bowman pillow buddy, and I'd be like, eh.
Yeah, it would work.
I don't have the hair like this.
You can get it.
Yeah. No. We can draw the hair on you.
The trend.
I wear gloves and perform magic.
So, if you're not watching on YouTube, you should be. You missed everything that just happened now. But we'll plug that in a second. Kate, why don't you plug what you got going on?
Oh, my God. You can follow me at Kate on Deck IC. On Twitter, you can catch me on Friday nights with Sean Rossap doing the Fightful Post Show for AEW, Rampage, and SmackDown. You can call me a homer for either side. I get it all the time. Tuesdays, I do Sour Graps with Alex Pulowski immediately following NXT 2.0. And that's all I got for this week.
Shlong, what are you doing on Monday and Tuesday nights?
I am live tweeting Elevation and Dark.
Which I watch.
You can follow me. Yeah, sure you do. You can follow me at my personal Twitter of Mark Order Pod.
Spit it out, Shlong. Come on. We're bringing this train into the station.
I said just follow me at Mark Order Pod.
Your personal account.
That's my personal Twitter.
Guys, we got to go home before Matt.
Slide up in his DMs. Shlong will definitely talk to you and send you his.
Yeah, slide photos. Up in his DMs, please.
It's amazing. Me and Matt really look forward to the DM. So slide up into the DM.
That happened once every month, maybe.
It's still fun. Matt, we know your birthday's coming up Sunday. What's Monday? Okay.
Monday, 10-year anniversary of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Be sure to join us. I have a jam-packed show lined up for us. Lots of fun guests, lots of special videos. I see LSG is he's watching. He should probably check his DMs. Yeah, so we're just excited for our 10-year anniversary show, and it's going to be a good time. So join us, watch us on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Twitch, and do some shots with us. And yeah, it's going to be a good time. I got some surprise guests lined up that even Tony and Kevin don't know about. We got Scion, we got Charlie Haas, who's looking to, he wants to fight Chris Jericho. That's like a thing. Cool. Yeah, lots of great videos from lots of past guests. Just a lot of fun. We're gonna have a lot of fun Monday night, so tune in. Hopefully, I don't get shot.
Kate,
Charlie Haas in beer pong in my sorority house in my senior year of college. So,
Kate, did you miss who Charlie Haas wants to fight?
No, what?
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Bring it on.
And, you know, for anybody who's not doing it, you should follow the Mark Order Podcast on social media at Mark Order Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Follow us on YouTube as well, because if you're, as we've said numerous times, if you're not watching this show on YouTube, you should maybe check it out for some of the stuff that doesn't necessarily translate to the audio version. But if you are listening in audio version, we definitely thank you for it. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Help us spread the word by liking, reviewing, whatever you got to do in all the podcast services to help us show up in the algorithms. We've also got free stickers. So if you want a free sticker, slide up in the DMs. Schlong won't answer those. I'll answer those, and I'll make sure to send out just stickers, no feet pics, anywhere in the world. So you just leave us your name and address. We'll send out stickers. But I think that's it. We got nothing else. Let's pull this train to the station. We'll be back next week.
We got I'm just going in the Mark Order DMs. Looks like a conversation with just office gifts. That looks like a fun time.
Just office gifts.
Yep.
That's a new one.
I'm a little annoyed about this. Apparently somebody sent a link to the tag team Kenny Omega, Adam Page, Amazon page. Don't miss out, Amp Money. Wasn't involved in that. I think I found it out myself.
No. I sent that to somebody else. You don't know how to read DMs.
Yeah, let's end this one, guys.
Why? What are you afraid I'm going to find, Schlong?
No, it's just you're now screwing up what you're reading. You're reading our stuff as someone sending it to us.
This episode acts like a toddler for 70% of it, and now is like, it's 1:25 in the morning.
What? I just got shot several times in the dome.
By the way, Rob Humphrey says, thanks for the show. We're the best. He says that we are the best. Enjoy Ghostbusters for me. Happy birthday to Matt and Kate and Schlong. Enjoy whatever it is you like doing. Kate, what do you like doing?
I like ending shows 3 hours and 10 minutes into them.
Schlong, what do you like doing?
I also enjoy tacos and I like baseball and doing 700 wrestling podcasts a week.
Let's just wrap. Jesus Christ.
No. Tell us your hobbies. Let's have this
go. I like the fires, and I like fun, and I like positivity, and the smoking guns.
I'm Matt. I like the Mets. I like to collect wrestling toys. Mm-hmm. I like to be a grumpy motherfucker.
He's also a Dolphins fan. Because he loves He's a Dolphins fan because he loves to lose.
I'm a Dolphins fan, even though I live in New Jersey.
Dolphins won Thursday night.
What was the score? 9-6?
No, they put up some numbers there. 20-something.
Oh, it's a lot of field goals.
Rob, thank you for the birthday shout-out. Thank you for becoming a Shining Wizards Patreon. It's much appreciated. And hopefully I can I can give you the wonderful enjoyment that me and these wonderful people give you every Wednesday night through the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast every Monday night.
And Matt, Monday night for the 10-year, are you guys going to be in the same room or are you doing it?
No, okay. No, because it's going to get out of hand and Tony's probably going to leave early. And I'm going to, you know, not New Japan strong, but I'm probably going to get pretty.
Someone's getting called a hand job. Someone's getting called a hand job.
Probably. Hand job, yes.
A cocksucker.
Oh, no. Don't worry. I got my list of people who have ignored messages and or read them, said they would do something and then didn't respond. So I'm sure I will call them out Monday on the show and make Kevin really uncomfortable.
Can I just ask you one thing?
All you have to really do is start hitting record for Kevin to get really uncomfortable.
You may ask me a question.
No. It's a request, not a question.
Oh, request. Hit me.
Yeah. Try not to wish death on anybody because you have a good track record with that.
Yeah, good point.
Please just try not to do that.
I'm trying to tone it down.
Yeah, let's tone it down. Call everybody a hand job you want. Just don't wish death on anybody, okay?
LSG says, good night, pals. Let's all get drunk soon. LSG, you come to my house Sunday for my birthday party, all right? You get drunk. Care?
Kate, you can leave whenever you want.
Yeah, Kate acts like she wants to go to bed. Kate's going to be up on fucking Twitter for the next hour.
She's going to be sending and receiving DMs.
She's going to be on Twitter for the next hour, tweeting all sorts of shit at all her weird followers. Don't be fooled by her.
She's gone, so.
I know she's gone, but I'm just letting you know. She could be on Twitter for the next hour and a half.
You watch. So will Schlong.
Yeah, but he'll be doing it. I gotta process this. I gotta that's get right. It up.
That's right.
I gotta get up for work in the morning. I'm going to bed.
Schlong's gonna be sliding up in those DMs.
Get up in them guts, son.
That's right. All right, let's wrap it up. Thank you. Thank you for checking everything. Thank you for checking us out. At Mark Order Pod, follow us on social. Help us spread the word. Get your free stickers and join us next week.
Oh, that's it. There's no
joy. Both long and good night.
Oh, join us next week on the Mark Order and good podcast.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.